The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, May 14th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a 94-year-old woman was mugged on her way home from church in Upper Darby. Police Superintendent Michael Chitwood says she's the oldest crime victim he's ever encountered. And as you can imagine, he had some things to say about the suspect. Certainly a scumbag. I mean, that scumbag 101, Chitwood said. Police say it happened on Saturday evening. The 94-year-old was coming home from church and decided to stop at the new Long Lane Pizza and Grill. The shop owner says that she's a longtime customer for about 20 years. She ordered a cheeseburger and a milkshake. Usually she gets delivery, but that day, Saturday, she came over because the weather was so nice, the owner said. She then walked a couple blocks to her home. She made it to the front, her front steps when they say either a 14 or 15-year-old grabbed her handbag and took off. The milkshake and cheeseburger fell to the ground. I almost cried when I heard that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so terrible.
You've lived all those years, a full life. It's not the way you get treated.
Kathy?
Poor
unbelievable.
Thing.
Were you crying because you didn't want to see a good milkshake go to waste?
No, come on. The poor little thing.
No.
She walked over there. She got her cheeseburger and milkshake. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah, it's terrible.
The victim suffered a scrape to her arm during the scuffle, but was otherwise uninjured. Chitwood says he can't understand how someone could do something so terrible to a 94-year-old woman. It really angers me that the woman who's 94 walking down the street is attacked and assaulted by a scumbag. There's no other way to describe the individual, Chitwood said.
Coward.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many adjectives that you could describe.
Scum coward.
Scum coward.
That's a punk.
That's right.
Well, yeah. What it is. I mean, you're talking about a teenager who sees an easy grab.
Easy target.
No perception. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the victim tells investigators that the mugger had to be somewhere between the age of 13 and 15 years old. He was wearing dark clothing. She had to cancel her Sears and Kohl's credit card and order a new Medicaid card. She never got to eat her cheeseburger and her milkshake.
Oh,
poor thing.
Man.
I know. But detectives say that they are going to get her a new meal, and they're going to bring it over this week. Two float planes have collided in midair near the southeast Alaska town of Ketchikan. Four people were killed, 10 were hospitalized, and 2 are still missing. The Coast Guard says it plans to search through the night for the person who is missing, although 14 people were on board the plane, mostly passengers from the cruise ship the Royal Princess. The ship was on a trip from Vancouver to Anchorage. The FAA says that the planes collided under unknown circumstances. Float planes have pontoons mounted under the fuselage so they can land on water. The NTSB is sending a crew from Washington, D.C. to investigate.
Okay, I'm confused here. So there were two planes and a cruise ship?
No, they're just the people from the cruise ship got off the cruise ship, went on these planes.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Weather conditions in the area on Monday included high overcast skies with 9-mile-per-hour southeast winds. Verizon is offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of a person responsible for deliberately damaging the company's equipment in South Jersey. Verizon says in at least 10 incidents, someone has damaged Verizon equipment. The destruction has left customers and businesses without a way to communicate, in some cases, for the entire day. The incidents have been reported during overnight hours in parts of Burlington and Camden communities, including Cherry Hill, Marlton, Evesham, and Chemung. Verizon is also sharing an image believed to be the person of interest in connection with the incident that happened on April 28th in Cherry Hill. This is extremely dangerous and reckless activity, and it needs to stop, said the Verizon chief security officer. Each time a cable is cut or our equipment is damaged, these
an angel gets its wings.
Are jeopardizing our customers' ability to communicate. It means that they're not able to contact their families, a doctor, or 911 emergency services if needed.
Yeah.
Police believe whoever is responsible has detailed knowledge of how to disrupt Verizon service by cutting a middle portion of the cables, making it difficult for Verizon to repair the cable in a timely manner. So they think this person kind of, they know what they're doing. Mm. Authorities believe it's possible it's a disgruntled worker or contractor who could be responsible. Police Chief Bud Monahan said that the pieces of cable stolen have no monetary value if someone were to try to sell the scrap on the street.
It sounds like somebody with inside knowledge, you know, maybe a disgruntled worker or maybe a 90 some odd year old woman.
Yeah.
A little hangry.
Cherry Hill police report the incidents happened between the 2040 and 2070 blocks of Springdale Road. Authorities also believe the culprit is hitting utility poles after midnight. Verizon is encouraging anyone with information to call 911 and then the Verizon Security Control Center. In sports this morning.
Snacks are yummy.
JT Realmuto doubled in a go-ahead run in the seventh inning. Cesar Hernandez hit a two-run home run, and the Phillies beat the Milwaukee Brewers 7-4 last night at the ballpark.
Wow.
Phil's ace Aaron Nola lasted only three innings, giving up three runs and five hits. He had given up three runs combined in his previous three starts. Adam Morgan got four outs for the win, and Pat Neshek finished with his second save. The series continues tonight, and Brandon Woodruff will get the start for the Brewers. Jared Eichhoff goes for the Phil's. Game time is at 7:05. Brett Brown will remain as Sixers head coach next season, managing partner Josh Harris told ESPN.
Good.
There had been some uncertainty about Brown returning for his seventh season, but Harris eliminated the doubt in a meeting with Brown and general manager Elton Brand that focused on plans for the offseason. The Sixers were eliminated for a second straight year in the Eastern Conference semifinals, losing in Game 7 to the Toronto Raptors. The Sixers owe Brown nearly $15 million on a contract extension set to start next season, and management was determined to end speculation about his future and begin work on the offseason that includes decisions on retaining two prominent free agents, Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. Right?
Decisions?
Same as, what the hell is
this? Metallica.
Decisions.
Except I'm not drinking this morning. In the NHL playoffs, defenseman Robert Bortuzzo scored his first career postseason goal late in the second period that helped the Blues overcome another strong game from Logan Couture with a 4-2 win over the Sharks outside of San Jose. The victory for the Blues tied the Western Conference Final at one game apiece, and Game 3 is tomorrow night in St. Louis. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. So we got business to take care of right away. We have reinvigorated and started again, and it was yesterday that we chose the first school for the President Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year.
Yes!
Love this time of year. Summer is within reach, and the kiddies are getting excited about getting out of school. So yesterday we chose, as the school... it was, where the hell's the name?
What?
Thank you. Mary and Mercy Academy. I got to make sure I get that right. Which, by the way, is an all-girls Catholic high school.
Had no idea.
Was not aware of that either. And the votes came in, and we have a winner.
Yeah!
The
God, I hate when I do
drum roll, burp. It's the same button.
All right, so we asked the student body to vote for their favorite teacher over the past year, and they came back in fine fashion, and we do have a winner. The coolest teacher of the year at Marion Mercy Academy is Mrs. Jessica Shields.
Jessica Shields.
Yes.
That's a cool name.
Mrs. Shields is the teacher that they voted for, and we tried to dig up a little bit of information via social media or the school's website, and I can tell you a couple of things about her. She went to Chestnut Hill College and got her master's at Arcadia University, so she is a hometown gal.
Yes.
From this area, and recently took the students for a spring break trip to London.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, no wonder she's the coolest teacher, right?
Totally, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you never know. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk to Mrs. Shields later on. We don't call the teachers, but if they are, you know, able to give us a buzz, of course, we can chat with them real quick and find out what they're all about and see if they have anything to say about this amazing honor. So, we are going to set Mrs. Shields up with the Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug and also a $50 What a Croc Meals gift card. So with that, we need to choose another school. So, Casey.
Are we just going in order?
Yes. Well, please go ahead.
That way we don't lose the order. It's easier. We're going to go in a circle fashion, counterclockwise here in the studio.
Hard for us to keep track.
Yes, it is.
It really
so,
is.
Casey is going to choose our next school. Case, reach into the... What do we call this? The
Chinese takeout box.
Chinese takeout box that we have filled with the names of the schools. All right, whenever you're ready.
All right.
You got one?
It. Yes, I do.
All right. And
here's what we're looking for.
Okay.
Ooh, staying in the great state of Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
We're going to go with Ruston High School in Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Ruston. All right. Ruston High School. You guys get to vote now. It's pretty simple to do, but there is a very specific format that you need to follow. You need to text the word teacher. Okay, that starts to send it to the right folder, first of all. Text the word teacher and then a space and the teacher's name. The number to send it to is 39333. Now, we have that information online. It's very easy to find. Any of our social media accounts have it as well. But once again, it's Ruston High School in Westchester. Text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name to 39333. If you go to school there, and you, by the way, one vote per phone number. And if you go to school there, if you're in the student body and you want to let the administration know about it, tell them the specific way to vote because they can make announcements and let people know. And all you have to do is go to our social media accounts or PressNC.com or WMMR.com to get that info. Nick?
I think Ruston might be the newest high school we've ever had because it's one of these schools that was built over the last few years. They had Westchester East and
Henderson.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And so Ruston was finished in the 2006-2007 school year.
Well, that is a new school.
Yeah.
All right. Well, get on board, Ruston High School. Vote and let us know. You have about 24 hours to do that. We also have a few other things taking place today. Our buddy Dave Attell is checking in, and he and Jeff Ross are bringing the Bumping Mike show to the Borgata on May 25th. They've
awesome.
Got a couple of shows, and Dave's awesome.
Yep.
We've had a long, really cool relationship with him, so we'll check in with him a little bit later on this morning. We have Tattoos Day taking place, so a chance for you to win a Preston and Steve tattoo. It's a $350 gift certificate to world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. You go to the shop, you could end up getting tattooed by the area's top artists like Troy Temple. You can see his work on Instagram at Troy Temple or PhiladelphiaEddie'sTattoo.com. Now, how you win that is text the word tattoo to 39333.
Wow.
That number's getting a workout today.
Absolutely.
And we'll see if you can win a little bit later on this morning. So just a heads up on that. And our friends from Dietz Watson are stopping by. That means we got a real Philly deli stopping in. We'll get you the details on that a little bit later on. So a bunch taking place. I haven't even touched the Word of the Week prize, the MMRBQ, and all the other things that are going on. So let's take a breather. Let's come back in a moment, and we will get into the entertainment report and the stupid question and give some stuff away. We have a busy morning like this today. Stick with us, man. We're going to get you there. We'll get you into work safe today. We'll be right back.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Hi, Grandma.
Hey, we chose a new school because we got a winner from yesterday's very first day of Preston Steve's Coolest Teacher of the Year. It was Mrs. Jessica Shields, an English teacher at Marion Mercy Academy. So we're giving her the Preston Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug, $50 gift certificate to What a Crock Meals. And we have now chosen another school. Casey pulled it out of our receptacle. Ruston High School in Westchester. So it's up to you guys to let us know who was that special person this last year at your school. So text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333. Have about 24 hours, one vote per phone number. So it's the word teacher and then a space and then the teacher's name, 39333. So get on that, please. I'm going to do a stupid question. I'm going to ask this question. We're going to give away a pair of tickets for the Game of Thrones live concert experience, which is coming up September 12th at the MAM.
Very cool.
And this is an interesting question. Before 1935, what did the word computer refer to?
Before the year 1935, what did the word computer refer to?
Yeah.
Ah.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know that answer. Before 1935, what did the word computer refer to? 215-263-WMMR. All right, so a whole lot of birthdays. I'm gonna skip through some of these a little bit quickly so we don't waste too much time on this. But Alice in Chains bassist Mike Inez is 53 years old today. I remember meeting him at MMRBQ one year.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Nice guy, yep.
Did he like me?
He liked you.
Good.
He's a big guy, actually.
Is he?
He kind of has this imposing look about him. I'm thinking of the dude from Soundgarden.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I don't remember the guy from Alice in Chains.
Never mind. You're thinking of Glenn Danzig.
He's 53. Actually, he's kind of small, but he's really mean looking.
Yeah, because the dude from Soundgarden is a huge, I think,
hockey fan and Flyers fan.
Okay.
And we actually had...
is it his birthday?
It was not his birthday, so move on, Preston.
Right. No, well, I mistook the two, but you had a conversation about the Flyers or something?
But he
like
was
that?
Big. That's yeah. what I remember yeah. about that. Yeah.
All right, George Lucas.
Yeah, he's
one
smaller.
Of the greats. Yep, but he is he's big in his body of work, man. He's 75 years old today, so it's a bit of a milestone birthday for him.
Legendary okay. filmmaker. We had Cindy Williams in here a while ago. We talked about American Graffiti, which is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah.
And he has THX-1138 and a little series called Star Wars.
Yeah. And remember, producer Indiana Jones movies, he talked Spielberg into that.
Yes, you know, he did.
Like, he's like, I think I got this thing you'll like.
You the know? Story is they were actually walking on the beach. They would do these sort of things where they, you know, they kind of, you know, meet and sort of talk about industry stuff on the beach. And he said, I had this thing I think you'd be perfect for. Yeah. There was a little bit of slump in Spielberg's career at that time. And there you go.
Yeah. So he
you need friends like that.
75 yeah. years old today.
And has never had a chin.
Ian Astbury, lead singer of The Cult.
Big Cult fan.
He is 57 years old today. Are you really? Okay. Yeah. I know two songs from The Cult. She Sells Sanctuary and Firewoman. And then yep. the rest of it, I don't know.
I couldn't tell you any more titles, but you I know that I have some stuff on my iPod.
What about Love Removal Machine?
Okay. Yep. I do remember that one. Yep. Good All right. Song. So three.
But you're building a library here.
Ian Astbury, 57 today. Also from...
it's a short on. Song.
Also from the world of music, CC DeVille. CC, pick up that guitar and talk to me.
Okay, wait.
From he says, Poison.
He says, pick up that guitar?
Yeah.
Okay. I always heard pick a bad guitar.
Pick a bad guitar! One that sounds like crap.
Pick a Not, bad like I bad love, meaning...
I good. Love... Just Casey yeah. moments.
Uh-huh.
Pick a bad guitar.
Yeah, pick a bad guitar and...
No, that one's too to good.
Me. That's yeah. too good. Don't pick that guitar. No,
the one with only three strings. That one.
That's a bad guitar.
That's a bad guitar.
No, CC, pick up that guitar and talk to me.
Okay.
We had him on for a phone interview one time. He was hilarious.
He
man.
Was great. Hey, but yeah. You know why? Because he got it.
Yep.
He realized who he was, what he was, and was having fun with it. And that makes all the difference in the world.
He's bad guitar or not.
Pick up a bad guitar.
He's 57. Cate Blanchett. I've got a thing for her, especially in Thor Ragnarok. She was sexy and that badass. God, like a sadomasochistic, you know.
Like a bodysuit.
Madam type
Boy, did
of thing.
She look good. But you know what was so good about that character is that there were moments of humor and whimsy
yep.
that just made her great.
Yep. And she is the big 5-0 today. 50th birthday for Cate Blanchett. Tim Roth.
Yeah.
What did I see him in recently? I think it was a... It was one of the Musketeer movies. I think it was The Musketeer. And I'm like, he's a bad guy in that, too?
In The Musketeers movie?
No. Not The Three Musketeers. Just called The Musketeer.
Okay. All right.
So there was, there's been a few of them that have been running on TV lately. The Man in the Iron Mask is on recently. The Musketeer. Three Musketeers. I've seen, like, all of these have been running recently.
Reservoir Dogs Go to Heaven.
I think he was in that, Nick. If you'll look that up.
Yeah.
He may have been in The Musketeer. I'm not sure or not. But I remember seeing him in a movie of that period. Yeah, and again,
right.
Yeah, was that right? Okay.
Yep. He plays the bad guy a lot.
He's always the bad
guy. Always playing a bad guy.
Yeah.
He actually was a good guy in that series. He had a TV series for a while where they were crime profilers.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a rare time you see him as a good guy.
And Steve, you mentioned Reservoir Dogs, and he's in the new Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which yep. comes out later this year.
It's premiering at the Cannes Film Festival.
Ooh. He's a Tarantino darling.
Yeah.
He's had him in I don't know how many movies, but he's 58 today. Sofia Coppola, the director, daughter of Francis Ford Coppola. Lost in Translation was a great success for her.
Better director than an actress.
Marie Antoinette as well. She's 48. Amber Tamblyn, who was in The Ring and Joan of Arcadia, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
And married to David Cross?
I don't know.
I think so.
Maybe so. She's 36. Another great director, Robert Zemeckis.
Yes.
Has his birthday today.
I interviewed him once. It was a junket sort of in town, and it was for the flight.
Oh, yeah.
With Denzel Washington. Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah, it is a great movie. And, boy, that was a movie where I had no idea what the movie was based on the trailer.
Did anybody see the last one that he did with Steve Carell, Return to whatever it was?
I have it on Blu-ray. They sent me a copy of it.
It looked like it was going to be really good, and then it just went nowhere.
It did not get any good reviews.
He also brought us Back to the Future movies, Forrest Gump, Castaway.
Used Cars, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's Used Cars, man. Which is you and I, we love that movie.
What a great movie.
one of the best wrong movies ever made.
So good. He's 67 today. And last birthday, Mark Zuckerberg, co-founder of Facebook. 35 years old, rolling in billions.
You know his deal, right? He bought two estates side by side and joined them together.
With a tunnel?
He may very well have a tunnel. I know. Why not?
Listen, when our when we had, lottery dreams of my kids and the house next door to us was vacant, the idea was we would buy that house and build a tunnel to go to it.
That was
the kid's idea.
Not a breezeway.
No, a tunnel.
A subterranean tunnel.
Yeah.
We would have had hundreds of millions of dollars. I think we could pull off a tunnel. Yeah.
Who has not, at least at some point, entertained the notion of a bat cave-like complex under your house?
Of course.
You need one.
Yep, absolutely.
I know somebody who has one. They have so it's more of like a safe room.
Okay. But
in case anything happens, they
a panic room.
Yep.
Yeah.
They have supplies in there and they can get their family in and lock the door.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So people like that tend to have exceptionally large amounts of money.
They sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think any like sort of drug czar or something like that, anybody who really runs the risk of like being raided and arrested by the government or whatever, you need to have an escape hatch.
If you're a drug czar and you need an escape hatch, we're the company to look at.
All right, so happy birthday to Mark Zuckerberg, 35 today. We'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Before 1935, what did a computer refer to? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and I will go to, let's go to Gary. Hey, Gary.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. So before 1935, what did the word computer refer to?
A person that calculates arithmetic?
Yeah, a person. Yes. Actually, a person, yes.
Someone who computes.
Yeah. Before the mechanical computer, human beings did all that math, that arithmetic. And if you saw the movie Hidden Figures, the ladies were called computers. And, Gary, you got it right. So hang on. We're going to get you a pair of tickets for the Game of Thrones live concert experience September 12th at The Man. Music by Raymond Jawadi. And tickets are on sale now. Tickets go on sale they went on sale yesterday. There you go. They went on sale yesterday at 10 a.m. Hope you got them at Ticketmaster.com.
Are you going to go?
They're on sale now. I will check the calendar. I would love to.
Yeah, it's right up your alley.
Definitely, yeah. And the music is great in that series. All right, I got some stories for you. After entering her guilty plea in the Varsity Blues scandal, disgraced actress Felicity Huffman is facing 4 months in jail. She was reportedly weeping while entering her plea.
Because she was laughing so hard?
No.
Oh.
A judge told the 56-year-old she was waiving her right to a trial, and she agreed. After entering the plea, an assistant U.S. attorney said the government will request a 4-month prison sentence and a $20,000 fine. The prosecution then noted that Huffman's sentence will be comparably light because she agreed to cooperate. They charged her with conspiracy to commit mail fraud for paying Rick Singer $15,000 to help her daughter cheat on her SAT.
And they say the fact that she jumped on it immediately, took ownership of it, said she was guilty, that really works in her favor. Which will not be the case with the Lori Loughlin situation.
She previously released a statement saying, "I am in full acceptance of my guilt and with a deep regret and shame over what I've done. I accept full responsibility for my actions and will accept the consequences that stem from those actions."
Now, she was facing a possible death sentence, correct?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's down to 4 months.
Injection.
Good lawyer.
And they were considering bringing back the firing squad just in case.
Shooting her while injecting her.
Other parents and coaches swept up in the scandal, about 50 all told, who didn't cop a plea will face serious consequences for their refusal. Lori Loughlin is one of the parents who are pleading not guilty. Could be 12 to 14 weeks before a judge officially sentences Huffman, so that's a ways off.
Well, they're saying also the 4 months will probably not be 4 months. It'll probably be a lot less, but it's just the gesture, spending a little bit of time,
mm-hmm.
and that'll be then it'll be over.
Fans were concerned about the status of Jussie Smollett's character on Empire, but not the entire show following the hate crime scandal that took place. When the charges were dropped, Fox welcomed him back, but then backtracked. But on Monday, Fox announced season six. That's the final season of Empire. It is over. They said, "We are turning the final season into a television event. We're trying to go out guns blazing." That's according to Fox Entertainment CEO Charlie Collier. And he also said, "You allow fans to lean in and have the ending they deserve."
Well, you know, they're going ahead with Preston, and it seems odd because they've been back and forth with all this thing. They're coming out with a new show called Smollett Wonder. And it promises to be really interesting.
And it will completely focus on him?
Yeah, a robotic hoaxer.
Wow.
Who helps a family clean under the couch by lifting it up for them.
It's... Sounds familiar, yeah. But
Smollett Wonder.
They're going for it. Well, that makes sense because Smollett will not return to the sixth season.
His schedule's opened up.
Yeah. She's a small wonder. By the way, Cookie, this is a, according to the network.
Cookies.
Cookie and Luscious, or Lucius, I'm sorry, I don't watch the show.
That would work, actually.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, Cookie and Luscious. Those some luscious-ass cookies.
Cookie and Lucius, the two larger-than-life characters at the center of the series, have taken viewers through the highs and lows that come with fame and fortune.
I love the
Let me finish up here. As the series enters its final season, one thing is for sure, the Lions never go out without a bang.
I love the first season. I thought it was really good. That's Preston, I think you would have really enjoyed it, and then it went off the rails. They started jamming too much into it too quickly.
Like, because it was kind of poised as a dynasty or, you know, Dallas type show with the nighttime soap opera thing.
Yeah, and that's how it played.
But, you know, those shows got outlandish as well. I guess after a while,
over time.
They have to do that, but they did it too quickly.
Second season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everything's cool.
That's Jussie Smollett.
All right.
I'm not perfected yet.
That show was just horrible.
Oh, my God. I loved it.
Play those again. That kid can act.
Everything's cool. I'm not perfected yet.
So you guys were kids when that show was on, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I think I was a teenager. I was, you know, so I saw it as just stupid. That's funny. Everything's cool.
It is not perfected yet.
Everything's cool. I'm programmed to be an average 10-year-old. Average 10-year-olds make mistakes.
What acting, man.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Can we look up what she, where her career went,
sure.
Nick, if you wouldn't mind?
Well, she won the Oscar for, Vicky the Robot.
Tiffany Brissett.
Yeah.
Is her name. And let's see what her last credit was. It was in
Here it is, Preston. It's the Squirter series, number 5.
Stop it. No, she only worked till 1991.
Huh.
Small Wonder was from 85 to 89, so she only worked as a kid. And
what about the annoying neighbor Harriet? What is she up to these days?
I'll look that up, and then we all know that the kid went on to become the frontman for the Smashing Pumpkins.
Billy Corgan,
That was Wonder Years, not Small Wonder.
Wonder Years is Paul Pfeiffer, who became Marilyn Manson.
You're thinking of Small Wonder Years.
Harriet? Emily Shulman, Casey, and she didn't do anything either.
Yeah, there's no profile picture of
that. Actually comforts me that people with so little talent didn't go on to anything.
Yeah, she was in the Wonder Years, though. I see that.
She did an episode of the Wonder Years. She was in a TV show called Christy, which ended in 95, and that was her last.
Oh, Casey, she was on ALF once as...
What?
As Girl.
Oh, she played Girl. Okay.
By the way, was there ever an episode where Vicky in Small Wonder, because of her excessive strength, accidentally killed someone?
Yeah.
You remember that movie, Preston, with Christy Swanson? Best Friend?
Yeah, they brought her back to life.
Right, brought her back to life, made her sort of a robot, and she killed a woman by throwing a basketball at her face.
Yeah, I remember that.
That she used to be able to lift the couch to vacuum under it.
All right, I'm going to move along. We're moving on from Small Wonder.
Jussie Smollett.
To a legend that passed away. Doris Day died yesterday. We got the news late in the show. On the program, nearly 2 months after turning 97 years old, the blonde star's sunny screen presence captured America's hearts along with the box office. She was just celebrated as the wholesome girl next door in an era dominated by screen sirens.
I loved her.
I read something yesterday that she actually could have been one of the most successful screen stars of all time.
Absolutely. So her romantic comedies like, you know, Pillow Talk and all those movies with Rock Hudson, The Thrill of It All with... James Garner.
Was she in Don't Eat the Daisies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So all of those, She started with a couple of dramatic films. She was in a movie with James Cagney and a few others. But that string of movies and the fact that she was on the Billboard charts, yeah, and she was also an actress, very successful. But the funny thing was she was the girl next door, but in her own life, she had four marriages.
Yeah, she had a rough go at it. In the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, Doris Day dominated the box office with a series of blockbuster fun-loving hits. And celebrities including Goldie Hawn, Carl Reiner, William Shatner, Paul McCartney, and George Takei shared their grief on social media. In fact, Paul really liked her. He wrote, so sad to hear. There you go.
Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see.
So Paul wrote, so sad to hear of Doris Day's passing away. She was a true star in more ways than one. I had the privilege of hanging out with her on a few occasions. Visiting her in her Californian home was like
Did he bang her?
No, it was like going to an animal sanctuary where her many dogs were taken care of in splendid style. She had a heart of gold and was a very funny lady who I shared many laughs with. Her films like Calamity Jane, Move Over Darling, and many others were all incredible. Her acting and singing always hit the mark.
That's coming from Paul McCartney.
That's big. Yeah, that's big.
But, of course, John was noticeably silent.
She died on Monday at her home in California. Since the 1980s, she had kept a relatively low profile, choosing to devote most of her time to charitable causes and her 11 acres in Carmel. So she was living a wonderful life.
Yes.
She rose to fame on the radio, appearing with the big bands of Barney Rapp and Bob Crosby, and enjoyed her first hit with Les Brown's band in Sentimental Journey. She went solo in 1947, auditioning for Warner Brothers. Her most well-known hits included Love Me or Leave Me. Also, 1956 is The Man Who Knew Too Much, which was an Alfred Hitchcock film.
Yeah.
Co-starred James Stewart. And in The Man Who Knew Too Much, she sang the song Que Sera, Sera. That's where they came from. And she also starred in Calamity Jane and Pillow Talk, as you had mentioned, Steve. Day's work garnered an Oscar nomination, multiple Golden Globe Awards, including the Cecil B. DeMille Award in 1989. In 2009, she was honored with the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award.
Wow.
And in 2004, President George W. Bush awarded her with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. While her success, her career was successful, her personal life, as you said, Steve, is sometimes less than stellar. Three of her four marriages ended in divorce. Her third husband, also her manager, Martin Melcher, apparently died and left her penniless.
Yeah, robbed her blind.
She later sued to reclaim $20 million from his business partner. And I thought this was nice because she was interviewed last month. So this was the last thing she had to say to the press. She admitted she still gets fan mail. She said, I get so many love letters from fans as young as 8 years old telling me that they were introduced to my films, by my films and music by their great grandmothers, and my movies make them happy. Different films resonate with viewers for different reasons, but the common thread seems to be that my films are uplifting. On the topic of her legacy, she added, I enjoyed working and always tried to do the best job I could with every role. I'm thrilled to know that people are still watching my films and are uplifted by them.
It was a great interview, and I just happened to pick up that copy of Hustler when I came across it. And
shut up. So they also made a statement that in the foundation she created encouraged fans to make donations to her in her honor. They said Doris' wishes were that she have no funeral or memorial service and no grave marker.
Wow.
The Doris Day Animal Foundation, which she founded in 1978, said friends and fans wishing to remember Doris Day are encouraged to visit DorisDayAnimalFoundation.org.
Tons of great work for animals. And you know the story was that every year, and it happened just 2 months ago on her birthday, a whole bunch of people would gather in front of her house and sing to her.
Yeah.
To wish her happy birthday.
Que sera, sera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tiger Woods and his girlfriend, Erica Herman, have been named in a wrongful death lawsuit, alleging that an employee at Woods' Jupiter restaurant was served excessive amounts of alcohol prior to the employee's death in a car crash in December. Ooh. Yeah, the lawsuit was filed Monday by the parents of Nicholas Eimsberger, who was killed on December 10th in a single vehicle rollover crash. It was about 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Highway Patrol reported that he had been driving north at a high rate of speed prior to losing control of his Corvette and overturning. He died at the scene. The lawsuit, which names Woods, Herman, and the corporate entity for the Woods restaurant, was filed by Imsberg's parents and the representatives of his estate. They're seeking more than $15,000 in damages. So they're not
just
like,
$15,000.
Yeah, they're not looking for huge amounts, as far as I know.
Why his girlfriend?
What's that?
Why his girlfriend?
Well, I think she manages the restaurant. Oh. So it's.
I mean, my guess is for $15,000, they'll just.
Is it maybe trying to pay for their funeral expenses?
Maybe that's it.
I don't know the details. But according to the lawsuit, employees, management, and owners of the Woods, Jupiter Bar, and restaurant overserved alcohol to him despite having knowledge that he suffered from alcoholism. Imersberg drank to the point of severe intoxication before being allowed to drive home. It alleges he reportedly completed a shift at 3 p.m. and remained at the bar until the beginning of his drive home. His blood alcohol level was 0.256.
Whoa. Oh, wait, so he actually worked there?
Yeah, he was a bartender.
He was a bartender there, stayed there after his shift.
Yep. Kept drinking.
Yep. Drank, okay.
Yeah. And then went home, and they feel that they should have interceded.
I guess so, or
15,000 seems kind of weird.
They shouldn't have served him. So, yeah, that's what it says. I don't know if the story's incorrect or not, but that's what I read this morning, so we'll see where that goes. Hey, Amy Schumer shared a Mother's Day post fans actually wanted to see. The comedian kept it real with a shot that shows her grimacing while hooked up to machinery sitting in the bathroom. In the foreground, her sister Kim holds her newborn, whom she welcomed on May 5th with her husband, Chris Fisher. So it was a Mother's Day. She's a new mother.
Yeah. That. I wonder, she went through so much with this kid. Uh-huh. A lot of sickness.
She'll do it
I
again.
I wonder if she's one and done.
Yeah, maybe. In a Manhattan court on Monday, Bethany Frankel admitted that appearances on her hit reality show Real Housewives of New York City can be deceiving.
What?
I know.
It seems so real.
She is embroiled in an ugly custody battle with her ex, Jason Hoppe. And she said, it's a show you shoot for 7 days to get 40 minutes. I can never specifically say that's what happened. Even if you have a transcript, it might not be what I said, Frankel said.
And Hoppe agrees?
This was questioned by Hoppe's lawyer about statements that she made. The judge, Michael Katz, agreed and said, I do think it's bizarre to ask about the show, he said.
He says these things because he's Hoppe.
He said, we are taking this reality television show that was meant for entertainment value and supplanting testimony.
Oh, this
so maybe they're starting to figure it out that crap ain't real.
Wow, man, this is really twisting every which way I perceive these things. Like, what is that one, Carson Crisley or whatever they, Crisley Knows Best or that show on USA? You know that one with the family that all has perfect teeth and dyed hair.
Oh,
and
gosh.
The father's obviously gay.
Well, that guy, Carson Kresley, is from...
No, he's from... What's the other show?
You're thinking of Queer Eye.
Yeah. What's the name? Similar name.
Carson.
It's horrible. Horrible.
Best. Yeah. Something knows best.
All right.
But listen, you know that. We know that. That stuff is totally, spoon-fed.
Right.
But some people don't know that.
Some people don't know.
Some people think it's a real deal.
All right.
You know what broke my heart is yesterday I was talking to my daughter. She had gone on her field trip, and they're now discovering things like The Office and these shows that existed years and years
ago. That's awesome,
And they're binging them on Netflix and stuff. Her classmates are now watching Kardashians. I'm like,
it sucked in. Almost got out.
Yep.
Don't do it. Don't smoke cigarettes.
Don't watch the Kardashians.
Don't watch the Kardashians. Just don't do it. It's bad for your
health. Don't get into vans with strangers and don't watch the Kardashians.
Hey, over the weekend, Jennifer Lawrence celebrated her recent engagement to art gallerist Cook Maroney and did it in New York City.
Yeah, the name's Cook Maroney, see?
Sounds like an old gangster.
It does, right? Doesn't it?
While the details are under wraps, her stylist, Jill Lincoln, and Jordan Johnson shared a pic of J-Law. In a beautifully pink wedding dress by L. Wells Bridal for the occasion.
Ooh.
She accessorized the look with Cassaday shoes.
David Cassaday shoes.
I guess that's how you pronounce it. Or Cassaday. Fred Leighton jewels and a Roger Viver bag. Did I get any of those right?
Yes. Okay. I think you got a few of them right, Kathy?
I don't know. Looks cute, though.
She's adorable.
She's a lovely girl. Mm-hmm. In a pink there, she looks like a wonderful little pastry.
Speaking of lovely girls, Maisie Williams is opening up about her mental health and how she managed to go from hating herself to just trying to be who she actually is.
And how did she pull this off?
Last year, she said, this was on a during an interview she was doing. She said, last year in my own personal life, I think I just went through a lot of real revelations where I was like, I'm not very happy doing this and pretending everything was fine. And so that wasn't a public thing, but after going through that, and now I've sort of tried to be a lot more genuine, and it becomes a lot more relaxing after that, I think.
A lot of stress and strife on the set of Game of Thrones, huh? A lot of people going through a lot of stuff.
I guess so.
Whose head kept falling off? Who's the one who had all the, having the mini strokes or mini pass-outs?
Oh, Daenerys, oh,
yeah. Amelia Clark.
Yeah,
she was having some serious physical problems. So, but now it's one more episode, and it's done, man. It's done!
It seems that the dragons didn't have much in the way of issues. They had a good run, right?
Everybody's happy.
The dragons were happy.
Yeah. I mean, they had their stunt doubles went through a lot. Yeah. I mean, because it's very physical
role. Hard to fly.
But they're doing pretty good. I haven't seen any interviews lately, but Amazon Prime has snagged the global rights to the forthcoming untitled Star Trek Jean-Luc Picard series.
Yes.
I'm on board, man.
I know you and I are both massive Next Generation fans.
Yep.
And he was such a good captain.
He's my favorite captain.
Yeah. I love Kirk.
Yep.
I love Kirk. But there's something about that. You know, I have to identify with the bald guy.
That too.
Yeah.
Yep. Sir Patrick Stewart is starring in the show. The deal was struck by CBS Studios as CBS All Access original Star Trek spinoff airs on Amazon's rival Netflix. I'm your captain. Is that where we're
playing right now?
By the way, Patrick Stewart, man, in real life, outside of his roles, if you've seen interviews with him, he is a quirky, goofy dude.
He is absolutely goofy.
And he's a big pot smoker.
Sure.
And he's just, I would love to hang out with that guy.
A good, weird sense of humor, too.
Yep.
I love how he's best friends with Ian McKellen. They hang out. You know, it's like Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks. They just go get ice cream.
Out of the X-Men.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's that same friendship. Yeah. And he's also really good friends with Hugh Jackman. And they both had that. They got that distinction, I guess it was from Guinness, of being in the longest run of Marvel-based movies.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I finally watched Logan. And holy crap, is that great.
Isn't that wild?
It's just, you guys have been telling me for 2 years since it came out how wonderful it is, and you're right.
Amazing.
It's heavy.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a heavy film.
It's no Smollett wonder.
That's just light and airy.
Yeah.
Well, here's a light and airy one for you. Fox confirmed that it has renewed The Masked Singer for a third season.
A third season. Wow.
And what did they cancel, Preston?
Oh, I don't know.
The Passage.
Oh, yeah. You told me about that yesterday.
They canceled it.
Me and Steve and Casey were all in on The Passage. It was a great series.
Maybe it'll get picked up by like Netflix or something.
I don't know. I would hope, but it's season one. At Preston, big cliffhanger ending.
Yep.
What's going to happen? And yet they renew The Masked Singer.
Yeah. Case and I read the books.
Yeah, I read the book. And then
didn't read all three of them?
I stopped reading in the middle of, I guess, the 11?
The title?
The 12, or whatever it was. The second book I stopped reading.
Okay.
I think. I can't remember.
Anyway, the first show will bow after the Super Bowl on February 2nd. So that's for the
this
third.
This is really exciting news. Because that, you know what kills me about the whole conceit of the show? And I know, Casey, you were watching it. All of the audio that's recorded of the quote-unquote Masked Singers is recorded, you know, after the fact.
Yeah.
If you want to do it, have them sing inside the freaking masks.
Right. What I would like to know is if they are actually inside the mask.
At all?
Are they even it? That's a good question.
No, if they're inside the mask lip syncing, because you can't see their lips anyway.
Yeah.
So if you've ever on Halloween had your picture taken while wearing a mask.
And you smile.
You tend to smile.
To that point, though, Case and Preston. They could not. It's possible they're not even in those costumes.
Yeah. Well, because one
doesn't
of them
doesn't matter. It's like a trivia. They're giving some clues and stuff.
So you won't get your scale pay for the day. But,
yeah. Right.
You know.
Donny Osmond was doing a residency maybe in Vegas the whole time the season was going on.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he was there under the mask lip syncing.
Obviously, they could have shot the series, you know, in one stretch and just kept that incredible secret a secret.
Yeah.
All right, one more story to pass along, then we got to get to the clips. Lorne Michaels, the creator and executive producer of Saturday Night Live, is going to be honored with the Cannes Lions First Entertainment Person of the Year Award.
Wow.
Michaels is a 16-time Emmy winner. And the Philip Thomas, chairman of the Cannes Lions, said in a statement, We're delighted to present this very special award to Lorne Michaels, an esteemed industry legend. He is an individual who perfectly illustrates the impact of great storytelling and culture, which can support the marketing and communications industry to strive for creative excellence and engage and inspire audiences across the world.
What the award is it as Cannes as in Cannes Film Festival?
That's what I'm assuming.
Okay.
C-A-N-N-E-S. Yeah. And this is the first Entertainment Person of the Year award. It is set to run the 17th through the 21st of June. All right, we're ready for clips now.
Yeah!
After 12 seasons with the quirky scientists and a long goodbye, The Big Bang Theory is finally coming to an end. Here, Simon Helberg discusses why saying goodbye to the cast is so difficult.
I keep comparing it to a graduation. That's the most apt analogy, which is that you've made these friends, you've had this experience, you've grown up together, you say goodbye, and the future is unknown, and it feels like the world is your oyster, and that's scary, and it's exciting.
I don't give a f***.
Big Bang Theory series finale airs Thursday.
I'm watching it.
Yeah.
I'll watch it. I've been along. When the show first came on, I was like, this is not good. And then I realized that I started to watch, they're making all sorts of pop culture references that were pretty accurate and fun. And then I started to get into the characters, and it turned out that it's a really solid ensemble. And but I think they're probably it's run its course. They've, yeah, you know, the plots have been done and done over and over again.
And the assertion that, and I don't know if this originated on Big Bang Theory, but that Indiana Jones had literally no
effect on
the outcome of the movie.
They picked up on that. So they would pick up on a lot of pop culture things that were circulating at the time, that Indiana Jones could have not done anything in Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it still would have turned out the same way.
Big Bang Theory, like I said, Thursday, 8 p.m. CBS. That is it. It is done after 12 seasons. Let's go to the next clip. John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum, follows a legendary hitman after he has lost his protective services and has become the target of the world's most ruthless killers. In this clip, Halle Berry, who plays Sophia, details why this series redefines action films.
It's something different from what we're being offered today.
What?
It's real live action.
Oh my God.
It's beautiful. It's storytelling. In a way, I think...
Something's wrong.
What's happening?
What's going on?
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Would you like to sit down? I was in a movie called John Wick 3. In a way, I think that's different for action movies.
Yeah.
And it's got an amazing cast.
Yeah!
I think I'm going to throw up.
She must have had laryngitis or something like that.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum will be in theaters on Friday. We have a screening, by the way, tonight. We've given away all the movie passes. Just a heads up on that.
I am so incredibly excited.
You're going to it?
I'm going to go tonight.
There you go.
Even though it's tough during the week, but I loved 1 and 2 so much, and the reviews are stellar.
Cool. Nice. All right. Well, enjoy if you got some tickets from us. We have a few things going on today I want to tell you about before we wrap things up. Tattoos Day. If you are interested in winning a Preston and Steve tattoo, text the word tattoo to 39333. And if we choose you, we have two ways. That's secret text.
What?
We'll choose a random texter later on. We'll give you a $350 gift certificate for world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's tattoo. So get set for that. We have a new school that has been chosen for the coolest teacher of the year. We already got our winner from yesterday. Mrs. Jessica Shields, the English teacher at Marion Mercy Academy, won that. But coolest teacher to choose from today, Ruston High School in Westchester.
Ruston?
A little less than 24 hours. Text word teacher, followed by the teacher's name to 39333. One vote per phone number. So let us know. We're dying to hear who it is. We're going to take a break. Be back in a moment. Got some guests and stuff. Tell you about those in a little bit. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Thrice. Shine now.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Kathy David Tell will be joining us later on this morning, giving us a call. He and Jeff Ross are going to be at the Borgata coming up on the 25th, and they're doing their Bumping Mike show. There's a couple of shows, and we'll talk about that more when we get Dave on around 9 a.m. We have a Tattoos Day taking place, chance to win a Preston and Steve tattoo. Text word tattoo to 39333. And we have a new school of which we have named or drawn to participate in the Coolest Teacher of the Year competition that we have, and it's Ruston High School in Westchester. So whoever has been cool, if you're a student there, a teacher you want to highlight, text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333. And we'll see if that person ends up winning that you vote for.
So while school is still in session, you schmooze the right teacher and you're waiting on a final grade.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Can't hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
Most definitely. And some people do campaign a little bit,
just
for,
a
these,
bit.
For the honorary title. Hey, I wanted to mention something. This ties into a story that was actually from last week. We didn't get a chance to get to it. So my friend Lori, whenever she eats, and her husband Will pointed this out to me, I'd never noticed it before. When we go out to dinner and we eat, she has a knack for, and this was Will's assertion, that she will either, if she orders a salad, she will turn it into a sandwich.
Uh-huh. Huh.
And if she orders a sandwich, she will turn it into a salad.
What? She doesn't like it in its state.
Whatever. She just
she F with it.
Picks at it and plays with it and so forth. So if there's a salad, and let's say there's obviously you get greens and some other vegetables, and maybe there's some chicken or something like that. Well, sometimes salad, you can get some bread on the table or whatever.
She'll make
little sandwiches.
Oh, my God, that's
with
so
the
funny.
Bread, okay? And then if she orders a sandwich, that is lettuce and tomato and stuff like that. She'll cut it up into pieces, and she's made a salad from a sandwich.
So by her reckoning, it's like she's cooking.
She's making, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's creating.
Yeah.
And that ties in kind of the story that came up last week. We didn't get a chance to get to it. And I guess this guy posted a video or somebody saw pictures of him doing this. But he had gotten chicken nuggets, which I believe were from McDonald's.
Yeah.
And he would peel the breading off and just eat the chicken meat inside. He would take the time to peel off all that stuff off of the chicken nuggets, and then eat them that way.
It seems like opposite of what you should do, because the breading is the part that tastes the best.
Well, the breading is selling the chicken in that case. But I would go with it to do all. They were looking at a box.
That's a lot of
work. With the breading taken off.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is a lot of work. Or I think you'd probably be. Does McDonald's have chicken fingers? Just the nubbets, right?
Just the nubbets, yeah.
I mean, why not just go somewhere for grilled chicken
nubbets,
then?
Yeah.
That's what you need. That's basically what you're trying to get grilled chicken, but it's still been deep fried. You're just taking. I don't know.
You want deep fried chicken without the breading.
I don't know if that's this guy's thing. If he's, you know, if it's a calorie thing. Or I think it's just a flavor thing. It's
skip the nuggets.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
It could be a carb thing.
It could be a what?
A carb thing.
What I said. A calorie thing.
But the question is, are you using the dipping sauces after?
He is. In this picture, it looks like he's using the
Then you're just killing your de-breading. You're adding the calories back on.
So I'm wondering about the strange ways that people might eat specific things. For some reason, did I say specific things? For some reason, you have either, I don't know if it's a taste thing, or I remember years ago we had a woman, and I didn't even realize that I did this. I don't do it every time.
Is it disgusting?
But no, it's not disgusting at all, but I never realized it. But sometimes with a sandwich, I won't eat the last bite. I don't know why. A woman had said that. She's like, I never, ever, ever, just the last bite, I don't eat it. And I'm like, why would you do that? And then I caught myself doing it one time. I don't know why.
So but you get down to that one little last morsel, you throw it away.
Leave it and throw it away.
Jace does that with everything he eats. I don't understand. I'm like, why? Just finish it. Why? Yeah. And he's like, I'm stuffed. I don't want to finish it.
I don't know.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
You guys know those Lance Toast Chee crackers?
No, but I want to.
Yes, they're kind of sandwich, right? And they have like a filling inside.
They're orange crackers that have a peanut butter filling.
Okay,
it's called Toast Chee. Yeah.
Just sitting here eating my crackers.
The only way I eat them is I take the crackers apart, and then I lick the peanut butter out, and then I eat the saltines.
Okay.
I will never eat it like a sandwich.
You don't like, interesting.
No, I mean, I eat the whole thing. I just don't.
You eat it in its component parts.
Right. And I eat it in the.
You field strip it.
But my older brother, I wasn't allowed to eat the cookie or the crackers around him because he's like one of those ragers that rages over the way people eat.
Yes. Things about the way other people eat really get under his skin.
So I would do that on the way to school when he would drive me.
So effed up.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to eat him that way, but he'd freak out.
He freaks out.
Well, here's another.
He's like, just eat the damn cracker.
Here's the thing that you did, Casey, and I was surprised to find that other people did it. It was something we had discovered on the air decades ago, probably years and years and years ago. Is that when you eat chicken noodle soup, you take the chicken out?
or I'll just leave it in there and not.
Yeah.
I just.
Because usually the chicken's gross.
Yeah.
And chicken noodle soup.
Yeah. The broth and the vegetables and the noodles are great. The chicken, on the other hand, is like. Blah.
So you eat around the. Would you just have chicken broth?
Sure.
Yeah.
I've seen you pick it out and place it like on a napkin or something like that. And there's like this little, you know.
I don't try to avoid
it. There's all these little bits of chicken. No, I like it.
And if you have like homemade, freshly made chicken soup with actual pieces of chicken in it.
That's
good.
All right. You just don't like the little fake cubes of quasi chicken. Yep.
Let me go to some calls. I have Luke on the line. Hey, Luke, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What do you want to share with us, buddy?
My girlfriend will go out to Applebee's or something, she'll order mozzarella sticks, but she doesn't eat gluten, so she'll like peel off all the breading. She's basically just eating like a cheese stick.
So does she not eat gluten because just medically she can't, or she thinks she's opposed to it for dietary reasons, or what's the?
She breaks out and like
Okay. Well, so she has a medical reason.
It shouldn't be on there in the first place. She might have, there's residue that can stay on there.
She could just have much. Yeah. She could just
mozzarella
have
cheese.
Cheese, yeah. Yeah. Sticks of cheese.
Warm them up in the microwave for her.
You got to dump her.
Yeah, man.
That is weird.
Well, good luck, Luke.
Yeah.
I mean, to go through that process, if you were to go to, no restaurant, I think, would accommodate that. If you're in an Applebee's, you say, bring the mozzarella sticks without the breading.
Well, I mean, a lot of places.
They're pre-done, right?
They'll have a tomato mozzarella salad, right? So why not just get that?
Right.
Just straight up.
Just take the tomatoes out.
I'm going to go to Victor. Hi, Victor. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. What's up, guys?
Yo, bud. Just talking to you. What's your story?
I'm listening, the chicken nuggets thing, McDonald's. I do that. I like to eat the breading first and then the chicken. It's just a preference thing. I like the breading first because I think it tastes the best. But I also like the inside part. And it's not about tasting grill. It tastes different. It's like a deep fried goodness. I can't explain it.
All right. Go ahead, Preston.
Will you make a big pile of all the breading first, peel them all off, and then just wolf down big bits of that? Or are you just peeling off a little bit at a time and eating it?
I do them individually. That's too much work. I like
that. Okay, all right. I wasn't sure if you needed a big bowl of breading.
To that point, Preston, so in line with what Victor was saying, and I will do this, Kentucky Fried Chicken, I will peel the breading off of and eat that, and then eat the chicken. With each piece.
Yeah. The skin's great.
It is really good.
It's the highest fat content, but it's good.
And if you're going, you might as well go all in.
Yeah, Casey?
Yeah, but I'm just, Victor, if you say that the breading is the best, why don't you save the best for last?
Because then I don't want to
should be a song.
And just eat grease. At least that makes me feel better if eating it, one at a time.
They're separate food groups as far as you're concerned, the breading and the chicken.
Yeah. And by the way, when we were in London, if you go to like a fish and chips place, you can order just like whatever sort of breading ends up falling off into the fryer.
Yeah.
What's that called?
Insane.
When I was a kid, there were Long John Silver's all over the place where I grew up.
Those places.
And so we would just order Casey. So they had these little, essentially little boats, these little containers that they would put the fish in. And we would call them crunchies because they would have these big containers of just the stuff that fell off in the fryer.
That sounds disgusting.
We say, "Can I get a bite?" I know,
and it is.
In hindsight, that is it's gross. Repulsive.
Yeah. And Preston,
right?
Yeah. It tasted great,
and I would douse it in malt vinegar.
Oh.
And just take a spoon and
it's just breading. Yeah. That's all it is. It's just the breading
and fat and grease. Loads and loads. All that grease soaks in there. You're mainly eating grease.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, honestly. It's oil and grease.
But there's no justification for it, but I remember that stuff and it's like, this tastes awesome.
Let me go next to Melanie. Hi, Melanie.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, Melanie?
So I'm probably going to offend a lot of people saying this, but I really hate Hershey's chocolate.
Okay. There's some people,
love the peanut butter that's in the Reese's peanut butter cup.
Okay.
So I will peel the chocolate off and just eat the peanut butter.
That is such a surgical process.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
It is such a process. I have to use my teeth, which I think probably offends people more as watching the whole process.
That must be disgusting. So you're getting it in your mouth anyway.
You're spitting it out.
I know. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I'm going to suffer through the chocolate to get to the peanut butter. And I know that they sell like jars of Reese's peanut butter. It is not the same thing.
It's not.
What if you were Katie, with the Reese's eggs, like they have for Easter, you have a larger content of the Reese's pieces peanut butter, there'd be less chocolate removal that would have to take place because it's much bigger. Would that be something?
So they're my absolute favorite. I will actually stock up on bags of them and put them in my freezer if I have the opportunity. Because you're right, there is just the peanut butter ratio is out of control.
All right, so
my boyfriend's listening. I've been telling him for a while. I know he's got an engagement ring for me. He really wants to propose.
Okay,
scoop me up some peanut butter. Darn call today.
Oh my
there
god,
you go. That's all he needs.
Doesn't need a ring.
Wow,
just needs a paper. So here's the deal, Melanie. I know they make, like you said, they make Hershey's peanut butter. They make Reese's peanut butter. But it's not peanut butter you want. That stuff, I think, is peanut butter paste.
Yes, it is.
That is inside of the, it's not just straight up peanut butter. So maybe you should sample some of that. It might save you a little effort.
I looked on Pinterest. It's pretty much just a crap ton of sugar that they're adding to it.
Okay.
I tried it myself. I don't know. It is just not the same.
No, okay. Trust me. And I believe you so many times. It's like, oh, I got the pitch when I was a kid. I've said this many times on the air. Why don't you just have a sloppy Joe? It's like a hamburger with the ketchup already in it. Really, Dad? Yeah. Is that really what it is? I don't think so. So there's
not.
Always
it's tomato sauce.
There's a little bit of a change.
A
so I understand where she's coming from.
All right. Good luck with you and your impending engagement, Melanie.
Oh, thank you so much. Right,
she's left with a hard one, too, because peeling chocolate off a Reese's peanut butter cup.
It's going to melt.
She's doing it in her mouth, so she's getting the taste of the chocolate, which she loathes.
Yeah.
How do you go on?
I don't know. Let me go to Tom next. Hi, Tom. Good morning. What's up, Tom?
Hey, so, yeah, Klondike bars. I eat them with a fork, but here's what I do. I take the fork, I use it like a dagger or a pick, and I break all the chocolate off and then, like, use the tines of the fork to, like, pull the big pieces off. Oh, it's so satisfying.
So you shell the Klondike bar.
There you go.
So what would you do for a Klondike bar? You would shell, you remove the chocolate and you don't eat them separately. Do you just simply eat the vanilla ice cream within the Klondike bar?
Nah, you know, I go back and forth. I'll take some chocolate off, then I'll go back with some ice cream. You got to keep a balance, you know?
I understand. And so in your mind is, because sometimes with some foods, and we've talked about this, you don't want the full complement together at once. You want, like, I think that speaks to this debreading, Preston. You like the bread, you like the chicken on the nugget, but you don't want to eat them exactly together.
I used to do the same thing Tom did with Dilly bars. I would just, like, eat the chocolate off until it was ice cream on a stick. Same thing, Tom?
Yeah, and then, like, you don't get the full chocolate flavor when you eat it with the ice cream because it didn't have a chance to melt, you know?
So, yeah, I hear you, man.
All right, Tom, random side note, but are you the same kind of a guy that when you get a sunburn and you're able to peel a little bit of your skin off, you'd like the long stretch of the peeling of the skin, right? I mean, who doesn't?
Apples, too. Like when
apples.
You peel an apple, you got to get it one piece.
You're a peeler.
All right, I like that.
He's a peeler.
He's a peeler.
All right, thanks, Tom.
Appreciate it. Yeah, baby.
All right, Casey, you want me to go to line six here? All right. Hi, Andy. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, Andy?
So we were vacationing in Central America in Panama, and I had my four young kids with me, and we saw this monkey on this pavilion while we were waiting, I guess, for my husband to get the car filled up. So we walked over, and we were about 5 feet away, and the monkey went and jumped on my 11-year-old daughter's head, just was standing there and kind of clawing at her.
Whoa.
So I pulled out of my backpack those Lance peanut butter crackers that Casey was talking about.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, trying to get the monkey off her head. So I finally got the monkey off of her head, but the monkey ate the peanut butter cracker like Casey did. He opened it up and licked the peanut butter out.
So you eat it the way a monkey does. Now, the first time we met Casey, I remember, Preston, he jumped up on your shoulders.
Yeah,
and to get him off, I offered him one of those crackers.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, the same thing.
This guy really likes me.
But he ate it like that, like licked the peanut butter out first.
I That's
like,
funny.
This is a wild monkey.
It's Casey, it's a very primal urge, apparently.
Well, either that or he's very well involved.
By the way,
involved.
You have grits on your mustache right now.
Gosh. Oh, that's not grits.
Can you wipe that
snot?
Off, please? What is that?
That was snot.
Oh,
what? No, I was just kidding. It was snot.
Anyway, go ahead.
No, I was just saying maybe either I'm very primal or that monkey was very
involved.
Very
smart.
Very advanced. Yes.
I can only imagine the monkey was incredibly evolved.
Could be. Okay, hang on. We have an opposite of one of our callers. I'm going to go to Nate. Hi, Nate. You're on the air. Good morning.
What's up, guys? You guys rock.
Oh!
Thanks, Nate. So tell us what you do. It's with the Reese's peanut butter cups, right?
Yeah, so I am the exact opposite of that chick. So with the peanut butter, I have these like, little peanut butter wafers that I like leave on the counter. Pisses my wife off. Me and that other girl should get together. I'll eat the chocolate. And she can have all my little wafers.
So let me ask you, okay, so why don't you, the question, obvious question is, why don't you just simply get chocolate?
There you go.
Sans the peanut butter. Do you like the chocolate that has been juxtaposed next to the peanut, or is that even an option? Explain why you're not just going straight chocolate.
Well, you know, I have, for some reason, my mom bought, like, tons of these, like, value containers, these Reese's. I've been trying to, like, eat through them.
Yeah.
And it's just this odd collection of peanut wafers that my dog no longer wants to eat that I just have sitting on the counter.
Okay. All right. So then it's more because you already have it and you're kind of working, okay, so you don't want to waste them.
Just convenience, yeah.
Okay. All right. I hear that.
Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it. Okay. I gotta try to figure this out from Katie here. Hi, Katie. You are on the air. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what?
So we're talking about this guy that peels chicken nuggets and eats... It's just the inside. What is it that you do?
So I eat potato chips, kind of weird, but only the ones that have flavoring on them, like Doritos, the ranch ones, or like sour cream and onion.
Okay, you actually look at it and you can see little green specks like from the sour cream and onion and stuff like that,
yes,
on it.
Exactly. So okay. I will take them out of the bag. I will flip the chip over, decide which side has the most flavoring on it, and that's the side that goes on my tongue.
Oh, absolutely. My God.
Absolutely.
Casey is
no doubt.
Confirming this. So you eat every chip as if it were a Eucharist.
And not only that, Katie, but like, let's say you're eating a Dorito that has like a ton of like the nacho cheese on the one side of the chip. You lick it off first, right?
No, I just shove it right on my tongue.
Oh, she lives life to the fullest, Casey.
No, I do.
Your monkey ways don't hold credibility here.
I'll take it further. If neither side looks like it has any flavoring that I want, I will throw it back in the bag.
All right, so here's a little thing that I do that's similar, thanks, not Katie, exactly the same. I love fully intact chips.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
I cannot stand, as you get towards the end of the bag, to have potato chip shrapnel.
Yep.
I hate it.
It's just not as good.
So I will open another bag, and I will pour the shards into the new bag.
Don't pour the shards in the new bag.
Well, because my wife will get mad at me if I don't. And also, oh, she'll wasteful. Find out if I don't.
So I've said this before about pretzel crisps.
Yes.
I don't like... When you get to the bottom of the bag, there's about a tenth of the bag that is all crumbs like that.
Yes.
All right.
And I don't like that. I like a whole pretzel crisp. Now, what you can do with potato chips, though, Steve, is you
glue them back together.
No, you can use those in recipes. You can do, yeah, they're like a potato casserole recipes where you put potato chips on top.
Or, who are you talking to?
Or crunchies.
Yeah,
I know you don't cook, yeah. but anyhow.
But it's kind of like the shake at the end of a bag. You just turn it into a joint, right? What can you do with the shake at the end of a potato chip bag?
That's usually what I've been doing. I've been turning them all into joints.
Yeah.
They're difficult to smoke.
Yeah. Smoking bones.
Yeah, yeah, just finished off Ruffles.
You don't get high or anything. It really hurts you.
Pass the Ruffles bag to the left-hand side.
Give me some of that shake, man. Oh, that's great. I love it. Okay, let me go to... We got a bunch of weird stuff coming up here. All right, I'll try this one. I have Kyle. Hey, Kyle, good morning.
Yo, what's up?
Yeah, bud, you're on the air. What you want to tell us?
So when I was in college, my roommate and I had the biggest argument about cookies and milk versus, mm-hmm, cookies in milk.
Yes.
Normally,
yeah,
you dip cookies in milk and you eat the wet cookie.
Yep.
But what he does is he takes a whole sleeve of cookies, puts it into his glass of milk, lets them sink to the bottom.
Oh, my God.
Drinks the milk and then eats the mushy cookie crumb stuff.
He's afterwards. A psychopath.
My dad does the same thing.
Your father and his roommate are psychopaths.
Does the same thing, yeah.
No, that's the way the monkeys do it.
Does that sound unappetizing to you, Casey?
Well, I mean, I do my stuff opposite than that as well. Thanks, I mean, I what I do is I take a bite of the cookie and then I drink the milk. And then
boom! Yeah. Now we're on the same,
okay,
page.
Yeah.
We right, just hit beef? Common ground. Right, roast beef? I take the cookie and I'll take a little bit of milk. Cookie, mm-hmm, little bit of milk. Here's my other thing. Pretzel, all right, little bit of sweet iced tea. Mm-hmm. Pretzel, little bit of sweet iced tea. And then, so by the time the sweet iced tea is done, I'm done eating my pretzel.
I prefer actually dipping the cookie into the milk where it softens it up.
So let me ask you what this thing that I've noticed, and Murray Goldberg does it on the Goldbergs. He puts like Dutch salted pretzels, crumbles them up into milk. And I asked my wife if she'd ever seen it, and she says she's seen people do that before.
Not pretzels, but we used to do it with saltines.
Saltines and milk.
Yeah, I got that from my dad. It was a snack of sorts, and I used to eat it all the time as a kid. I remember trying it long time ago. I haven't had this since I was a kid. It's disgusting.
to me, there could be no redeeming flavor.
God, a whole other conversation we need to have, but I'm going to bring this up now because I said this to my kid the other day, Carter, who has a great palate, and he tries new stuff, and I love that. But you know how your tastes change over time, and there are things that you hated when you were younger that you end up developing a taste for and you do like later on. Well, I found the same thing happens in reverse, like the crackers and milk thing.
Yeah.
I used to love it, and now it's gross. And I told him, you know what I used to love to eat as a kid? And this will be another conversation for another time. But I used to eat pickled pig's feet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All the time. And the idea of it is repulsive to me now. But
pickled pig ass. Right,
that's another one sometimes. Something you used to love, and now you couldn't fathom even eating
it. Real quick, I mean, because it just sounds so gross. Are you eating around bones and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the knuckles, the whole thing.
On living pigs.
No, not living pigs. They were dead by then. They were pickled. Hang on a second. Let me go to Rob next. Hi, Rob. Good morning.
What up, bitches?
Yo, man. What's your story?
All right, so Kit Kat bars.
Love them.
Yeah, you got to peel them off with your teeth, layer by layer.
Oh. So as you have the different layer of cookie and the cream and the cookie and the cream, and it was in the chocolate container, you go through each layer with your teeth, peeling off each layer as you complete the cookie.
Yep, and even on either end, there's a little bit more chocolate on the end, and you can pop them off. It comes off like in a nice...
Yep.
Nice layer.
Little nugget.
Peel off each little piece, you know, either from the, usually start from the top.
It's a lot of work.
Chocolate off. Yeah.
But it makes it last.
And then go with the wafers. Yeah.
Okay. That's how it makes it last. I do something similar with my Twix bars. What I'll do is I'll take a bite and then I'll get the caramel off first. I'll chew that.
The monkey way.
That's Casey's the cookbook. The monkey way.
Or is written by Casey and Chim Chim.
I love it.
All
right, let's go to Katie B. We only have time for a couple more calls. Hi, Katie. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great, Katie. So what weird thing do you or someone you know does when eating as far as their technique it goes?
All right. So my friend, he'll order like a hoagie from Wawa, like a classic hoagie. He'll eat half of it normally. And then the second half, he'll like take a bite, take the tomato off, take a bite, take the lettuce off, take a bite, take the onions off. And he deconstructs half of his hoagie
as he's eating. So at a certain point, does he begin to take his shirt off and his pants off? I mean, that's...
No, I'm glad he doesn't.
Though. Yeah.
You ever asked him about it? Why he does that?
We actually make fun of him for it, and he says he's gotten better with it, but he just says that, you know, it's the taste. I'm like, you ate half of the hoagie.
Right! You've already had the whole mixture in your mouth.
God, sometimes you just can't explain it.
But what's funny, because my wife will do with tacos, Preston, you talk about turning something into a salad. She'll get the taco, she'll take the taco as is.
Crunch it up,
and just turn it into a salad.
Taco salad. There you go. Let me try Jimmy. Hi, Jimmy. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Jimmy?
How's it going?
Good. What do you do?
So I eat the cupcake Swiss rolls. I eat the chocolate off of it first completely, so it's nothing but the cake inside. And then
your bomb just exploded.
How does that not bug you, Jimmy? There's beeping in the background.
There we go.
I don't know what it is. I've just been doing it since I was a little kid. So I would just eat all the chocolate off, and then once I got down to the cake, I would just unwind it in my mouth like a fruit roll-up.
Dude, I know that. Unrolling a Swiss roll? Yes, I hear you on that. Yeah, I used to do the same thing with yodels.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I just can't eat them.
However, it would be, you couldn't do that with a ring ding, which is essentially the same thing. Yeah. But the unrolling the yodel was a joy.
I used to suck the cream out of snowballs. I knew you guys would like that.
That's awesome. So you would suck the cream right out of the ball.
Remember snowballs?
That? Yeah.
I love snowballs. I used to deconstruct those a little bit, though.
Okay. So
God, those are just, they're just garbage, yeah. Man. And I honestly loved them as a kid.
Well, listen, yeah. That's why it cracks me up. We're looking at a one split in half when the people say, like, Oreos, that cream is just chemicals. Yeah. And I love it. Same thing with snowballs.
Marissa wanted to jump in. Marissa.
I can't wait to see what you guys say about this. Whenever I eat a piece of pizza, I start by tearing off the top right corner. So it's a little bit of crust and a little bit of sauce. Then I pick it up and I eat the bottom point.
Okay.
But now there's like a part that's left that's like hanging on the right side. So I probably tear that off and eat that. This is all with my fingers. Now I have a slice that's too small to pick up. It's like a quarter of a slice.
Yeah.
So then I tear off the top crust and put that to the side. Then I like fold up the bottom point that's left, eat that in like two
good
bites.
Good Lord.
And then take the crust and tear it. And now hopefully whichever piece has more sauce left, that's the last bite.
I love you, but I'd pitch you right off your balcony.
I've never understood the tearing of food.
Pizza. I do that.
Yeah. Not only pizza,
I do
but,
it.
But of food in general.
And I don't know why, Preston. Whenever we get pizza here, I tear it off in pieces.
I just love the idea of picking things apart and playing with them and then folding like different flavors together.
Like origami.
All right, so, yeah. So
the monkey way.
My sister, when she eats bananas and it drives my wife crazy too because she's one of those.
Oh, no.
Those mushy eaters, God. And I hate it. I can't stand it, too. But the other thing she does is she breaks off pieces of the banana and eats it that way. I'm like, you don't have to touch it at all. You're holding the peel, and you can just bite right there.
Filthy hands.
And now you're getting your fingers all over the food.
Nature's made it.
I never asked. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know, but it's just... But the people who take their fingers and pick food apart and eat it, I'm like...
Do you eat mashed potatoes that way?
Yeah, right.
Yes.
I can't pick food apart. I hate if my hands smell like food.
Okay.
Like even pizza, just eating it regular, not picking it apart, if my hands smell like that food afterwards, like I have to wash my hands immediately.
Right. I have to admit, though, I love when my genitals smell like tuna, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, I'll tell you what. When I was a kid, we had Tasty Kicks. That was our lunch snack, you know. So my dad would keep the
eat like a goddamn monkey.
No, he would keep the Tasty Kicks in the freezer. So I'm telling you, the best thing to do is when you have like a cream filled chocolate cupcake from Tasty Kicks, you eat the cupcake around it, and then you leave the cream left over.
Freezing adds all sorts of elements to it like that. Yes, you can do those things, and I support you in that.
Thank Quit
you.
Eating like a goddamn monkey.
Quit eating like a goddamn monkey.
Hang on. Danielle has been on hold for like 25 minutes.
Oh, please.
It's just how we got started was how they eat the chicken nuggets, this guy. Hi, Danielle. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Danielle?
I used to work for McDonald's, many McDonald's, and I do the same thing with my McNuggets. I take the breading off. I don't know why I do it, but I put all the crumbs in a pile, and I eat all the chicken part first, and then at the end, I'll just take just a handful and just shove the
You know, I can see that. There used to be the case where I would eat pizza and I would not eat the crust and the crust at the end of eating the pizza. Then I'd eat the separate crust, like breadsticks.
Yeah. I was just an anti-crust eater for a long time until I realized how much I actually enjoyed that part of the pizza. And now I'll finish all my kids' crust if they haven't eaten that.
Oh, yeah.
So I hand it over. I love this one. This is a text that came in. It says, now this is really doing some work here.
All right.
I bite one end off of an egg roll. I then scoop out the filling to eat. And then I refill the egg roll with General Tso's chicken and eat it.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I think I love that.
That's a great I appreciate idea. That. You know, it reminds me of
brilliant.
What I used to do with the with cannolis.
Mm-hmm.
Suck the cream out.
Yeah, of course.
And then eat the cannoli. I like the cannoli shell.
Yeah.
By itself.
And you can buy those separately. You can buy chips and you can dip into the cannoli filling. But to take the time to refill
it.
Something like that.
I love it.
That's
really, commitment.
That's going the distance. I wonder if anybody, you know, like stuffed shells, you just eat that ricotta out of there.
That's good.
And then maybe refill it with meat sauce or something like that.
So these Harry and David dark-covered chocolate blueberries.
Oh, my God.
If you bite them the right way, they split directly in the middle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the goal. So they, and for some reason, in my mind, they taste better when it's evenly split.
Like, same thing with a peanut M&M. If you bite it perfectly, top of the shell will come off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I will sometimes try to just eat the shell and the chocolate off of the peanut. You know, you suck them till just the nuts,
just
are,
the nuts
tongue,
are on your
right?
tongue.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, a lot of people have their little thing.
And they're deranged.
And the guy that was peeling the chicken nuggets is not alone, but no. It was posted you know, last week, and people made kind of a big fuss about it. But there's all kinds of little things that you do, and you don't even know why you do it. You just do it. So, but thanks for sharing. We appreciate that. All right. With that, I want to take a break and come back in a moment because we have some bizarre file stories to share with you. Our friends, by the way, speaking of all this food, from Campos are stopping by today with Dietz and Watson.
Nice.
And, yeah, Campos Deli in Old City, bringing in their classic Italian and the original Sin, a Dietz and Watson hoagie made with turkey breast, jalapeno, cheddar cheese, homemade Caesar dressing, and sweet roasted peppers. You can check them out in their Dietz and Watson Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guide. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thank you very much, Kathy. I got a text. I don't know what this is in reference to, but somebody's just sharing with us how their day is going so far.
Yeah.
And it just says, I've pretty much reached my daily limit for dumbass already, and it's barely 8.
Well, keep listening.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
We'll get some more dumbass in there for you. By the way, I'm seeing texts come in for our coolest teacher, and of course, they're not following the proper format to do it. So,
damn it!
I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Otherwise, the text that you sent in about your teacher from Ruston High School is just going to go to complete waste. And I've said it several times. I'll say it again. You text the word teacher, space, then the teacher's name, 239333. That's how you do it.
The only way to get it to count.
That is correct. And one vote per phone number. So Ruston High School, you guys are up. Westchester, PA is where that's located. You know where you are. But follow it. Go to PrestonandSteve.com. And that is how there's a very specific format. And it's listed there. And it'll tell you how to do it. We found out our coolest teacher from Mary and Mercy Academy was Mrs. Jessica Shields, an English teacher, and she gets a prize.
Sounds like an Avenger.
Coffee mug, it does, right? Mrs. Jessica Shields?
Yeah.
And she also gets the What a Crock Meals gift certificate, too. So let's see who gets it from Ruston High School. You have till about 5 a.m. tomorrow morning to get it together. All right, we're going to do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, the Bizarre File this morning is brought to you by Dietz and Watson Real Philly Deli. Want to know Philly's best-kept hoagie secrets? Well, then pick up Dietz and Watson's Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guide, a map of the best delis in the city. Earn prizes like T-shirts, coolers, food, and even birds tickets just for eating Real Philly Hoagies. Let's begin with this one. A woman living in Evanston, Illinois, was preparing to unload her washing machine when she found a snake slithering among the wet clothing.
Whoa.
She called for help on Wednesday after discovering the creature. Local officers safely captured the very clean snake and took it to the Chicago Exotics Animal Hospital. And listen to this. One responding officer added, I could smell it and can tell that it had actually been through a cycle. It smelled like downy.
Oh, that's so nice. Mm-hmm. Probably the envy of all the other snakes.
The animal turned out to be a pet named Penelope that had escaped from her owner. The snake was returned to its owner, nice and squeaky clean.
Amazing it could survive that, right?
I know, right?
Getting its brains rattled around.
Kathy, this one's for you. Okay. If you're going to light up your grill, make sure you open it up before you fire it up. A woman named Kat Kotze of Raleigh, North Carolina, opened up a drawer of her grill recently to find a family of 8 possums living inside.
Oh, saw this footage, you would die.
She took a video, and in it you can see a mother possum baring its teeth, surrounded by its 7 babies. Kotze said that she checked out the grill after her dog seemed extra interested in it, adding that she didn't want to disturb the animals and just let them live inside the grill.
Do you notice that that mother possums never seem benevolently, you know, out, hey, these are my kids.
Yeah.
No. It's like,
they're fierce protectors. She added on Twitter that she now refers to the mother possum as Janice.
Janice.
Named it Janice, yes. A woman reportedly snarled at Burger King employees in Largo, Florida, as they tried to convince her to leave the restaurant's bathroom. Police officers were eventually called to the scene where they made a startling discovery.
Oh, no.
Authorities are claiming that after taking the suspect into custody, 7 syringes were discovered hidden inside of her nanny hoo-hoo. She's indeed a Florida woman.
Yeah.
So Jamie Westcott was snarling and yelling at Burger King employees from the bathroom.
I think I would snarl as well.
She was refusing to leave. When the police arrived, they claimed that the suspect showed several signs of narcotics usage. She reportedly agreed to be searched but became agitated when one of the officers felt something hard in her groin. At this point, Westcott reportedly told the officers she had effed up. Officers warned her that if she was taken into custody without revealing what the item was, she likely would face additional charges. When she wouldn't reveal what the item was in her groin, officers took her to custody at the station. Westcott finally relented.
I have some syringes in my cooler.
And she revealed that she had 7 syringes full of clear fluid hidden inside of her.
7 syringes.
Yep. She had been
charged. The risk she was running.
With possession of drug paraphernalia and resisting an officer without violence.
I'd say she has an addiction problem.
Maybe. An Arizona pastor who has said that he prayed for the death of former President Obama and praised the 2016 mass shooting of Florida's Pulse nightclub has become the first person ever banned from entering Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't this weird? Irish Minister of Justice Charlie Flanagan signed an order under the Immigration Act of 1999 forbidding the entry of Stephen L. Anderson, pastor of Faithful World Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, ahead of a visit to Dublin that Anderson said he had scheduled for May 26.
Huh.
His visit's purpose was to preach to an unspecified congregation, according to the newspaper, and it was the first exclusion order signed since the law was enacted.
I thought the first time they did it, I thought they did it one other time with Dave Coulier.
Anderson made national headlines in 2009 when he said that he prayed for Obama's death, as well as after the 2016 Pulse shooting, in which he resulted in 50 fewer pedophiles, is what he said.
Huh. So this guy is really good with his PR.
And has repeatedly said the Bible calls for the execution of gay people.
Why wouldn't you want that in your country?
Anderson has also produced videos promoting Holocaust denial and claiming that the Jewish Messiah is the Antichrist. He has been banned from several other countries, including the United Kingdom, Malawi, South Africa, Canada, Jamaica, and all other European countries. Before the order was signed, numerous Irish LGBTQ rights groups had called for Anderson to be prevented from entering the country. Over 14,000 people had signed a petition calling for his banning as of Sunday evening. So they ain't letting him in.
Yeah.
But that was interesting. And let's see, how about this one? A man who claimed to suffer from brain damage because of West Nile virus was sentenced to 20 years in prison for recording and distributing child pornography. But he tried to use that as a defense.
West Nile virus, that was his excuse.
And the judge wasn't buying it. Irving Jose Marquez received the maximum sentence Thursday after pleading guilty to federal charges. As part of the plea agreement, a charge was dismissed, but Marquez and his attorney said that he wasn't in his right mind. They say he contacted West Nile virus in 2009 and that the virus subsequently made him sexually aggressive.
I got West Nile virus and everything.
Yeah, so they wanted the minimum sentence, but they ended up going with the maximum. And records show apparently his mother said that he was sexually aggressive since he was young. So the West Nile virus.
Nothing to do with West Nile virus.
And then one last story. How about this? We were just talking about something similar to this the other day. A Florida man says that his grass grew a little too tall, but he doesn't think that he should lose his house over it. The city of Dundon moved to foreclose on the home of 69-year-old Jim Ficken over $30,000 in unpaid code violation fines. Now, the Tampa Bay Times reports that Ficken was fined $500 a day last summer because his grass was taller than 10 inches. He filed a lawsuit against the city seeking a nominal $1 in damages, relief from the fines, and an end to the city's practice of finding people without considering ability to pay. Because here's the deal. Last summer, Ficken said that he was away for lengthy periods managing the estate of his deceased mother in South Carolina, and the man that he had paid to mow his lawn had died unexpectedly.
Oh, no.
Well, those are extenuating circumstances. That's why they're going to take his home away?
Yeah, they foreclosed on his home.
Oh, come on.
So, exactly. The grass holes, right?
See, I'd claim he has West Nile virus.
Maybe
that seems to not work.
Yeah, that seems to not work. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file this morning.
That's horrible.
All right, as we are taking a break, Casey's trying to give me something.
I have this this screening for this movie.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. Got it right
what
here.
What is this movie?
The Hot Zone.
Oh, this looks very good.
Is the movie. And we have a screening coming up on Tuesday, 21st, a week from today, at the Ritz at the Boers. It's at 7 o'clock. You need to be there by 6:30. We can take five callers at 215-263-WMMR, and you'll get complimentary popcorn and soda.
Ooh.
It is hosted by Casey Boy Foster.
Oh!
Presented by National Geographic. The Hot Zone is a three-night limited series inspired by true events surrounding the origins of Ebola and its arrival on U.S. soil in 1989.
Yeah, it's based on the book.
Great book.
Yeah. You loved it, right, Nick?
I did, yeah. It talks all about Ebola showing up in Reston, Virginia, and it's terrifying, and you know what it can do to...
Right.
Two people.
Right. I didn't mean to do that.
No. It's
that was the bizarre
part. It was a musical sting, Preston.
Yeah. It did sound like that. But
and it's terrible what it can do to dead people. Yeah.
So when's the screening? Because I'd like to go.
It's next Tuesday.
Okay.
Week from today.
Well, call in.
So the Hot Zone premieres May 27th on National Geographic, by the way. 215-263-WMMR is the number, Nick, so good luck to you.
All right.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment or two. David Tell joining us a little bit later on. Make sure you stay with us. Hey, gang, we need your blood. It's time to roll up your sleeve for the I Bleed for Preston and Steve blood drive, Saturday, June 15th.
Last year was the second largest blood drive in the nation, and with your help, it'll be number one this year.
So we're headed to the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks for this year's drive with kids' activities from Aim High Studio and Paint a Treasure Ceramics, plus Rita's Water Ice and Alex's Lemonade Stand.
The Red Cross is always in need, especially leading into the summer months, so make an appointment now at WMMR.com.
All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt and this year's pint glass from Window Nation.
Hundreds of donors will be randomly selected for free tickets to one of these concerts at the BB&T Pavilion, the Smashing Pumpkins and Noel Gallagher on August 8th,
or Alice Cooper and Hailstorm on August 16th. Tickets for these shows are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Our 14th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive
from the American Red Cross Penn Jersey Blood Services Region
and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Hey, by the way, our coolest teacher high school today is Ruston High School in Westchester. Text word teacher followed by the teacher's name, 39333. I'm going to read an email, and I want to preface this by saying this, that I am not going to make a habit of this.
All right.
This is for a longtime friend of the show, and I will do this, and then we will put that to bed. This is from Joan Mintz Ulmer. Joan was the communications director for the Greater Philadelphia Food Bank in the earliest years of the Camp Out for Hunger.
I remember her.
Yeah, so Joan, she's like, and it's a long email, so I'm going to summarize it. But she wants to thank us for our efforts in the recognizing of school teachers again this year with the coolest teacher. And then she goes on to give me a lengthy description of a really great teacher. I'm going to mention the teacher, but I'm going to do this one time because there are too many. Everybody will send us, and
yes,
we don't have time to do it.
Damn you, Joan.
Damn you, Joan.
Super long email.
We've said many, many times there are so many great teachers, and we don't have time to thank them all by name, and that's why we do the contest.
The whole purpose. Yeah.
So Christina Ulmer is the teacher, freshman English at Hatboro-Horsham High School. And she does these great philanthropic things with the kids where she ends up giving them money to do charitable things with, to do a good deed of sorts. This was after her 29-year-old sister, Katie, had died in a car accident. She found some money that Katie had left in her wallet, and she wanted to do something good with it. And she spread it out amongst the students and said, here, why don't you do this? Do something good. Do a good turn.
Here's That's a good to... thing. It's wonderful. Yeah.
And it's turned into a yearly event now. So she just wanted to say that this is a wonderful person, a great teacher doing a really cool thing. And I agree. That's very, very cool. So Christina Ulmer, you're getting your due. And that is from Joan Mintz Ulmer. Wait a minute. Ulmer.
Yes,
Ulmer.
You know what's going on here.
Family member.
You bastard.
No, but anyhow.
Even though it's wonderful, you're a wonderful bastard.
Yeah, but I wanted to mention that for Joan. And, yes, we tried to get to everybody that we can, but it's just too many people. It's just too much. So, anyhow.
We only have so many crockpot meals and cups to give out.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, I wanted to share that. Real quick, a couple of shout-outs, and then we'll move along. This is, hey, Preston, longtime podcaster. I'm Dave from the Detroit area. I currently have been working for Ford Motor Company, building cars on an assembly line, and on May 17th, I will be celebrating my 20th year at Ford.
Wow.
Working on the assembly line, and I'd like to request a shout-out in my honor. Hardworking man, I think we can do that. So, Dave Zawaki in Detroit, here you go, my man. Thank you very much. Congratulations on 20 years. And another one says, hey, wanted to give my pregnant wife, Kate, giant shout-out for being an amazing woman. We're both big fans of the show. But would have to disagree with your smelling foods for a few minutes theory to ease hunger. We were on our way back from picking up a Papa John's pizza, and we were in the car for about 20 minutes. After smelling that delicious pizza for 20 minutes, she was about ready to bite my arm off. So she politely disagrees with you, Preston.
She was pregnant at the time, though, right?
Yeah. I never said that. That was a story that I read and passed along. So
go to hell.
No, I didn't say that.
I'm sorry.
That's from Mike Gerard. So here's a shout out to your wife, Kate, and good luck with the baby and everything. Kathy, this Steve told me this is secondhand.
She told me?
Yeah.
And I said, let's hold this story here.
What's the story?
So I went out to, I told you guys yesterday, I went out to almost to Lancaster. I wasn't quite in Lancaster. I was in Oxford, Pennsylvania. A friend of mine grew up out there, and she goes out every year to do her flowers, her potted plants, and she plants in her garden and all of that. And she always, you know, laughs at me because I spend so much money at Lowe's. She's like, you have to come with me. So I took the trip out there. It was cool. It was very nice. We kind of spent the day together and we went shopping. And the Amish were, you know, they have this farm, and it's one that I guess she goes to every year. And I think that everybody that works there lives in this house that's on the property. So there were a lot of kids there that were helping us carry the flowers to our cars and things like that. And there was like kind of what was a cute picture. It was a little girl carrying a bunch of flowers. And then I guess her brother, who was next to her, he had, you know, his hat on, and he was helping with the flowers as well. And I was behind them, and I was like, that's a cute picture of them, you know, helping me carrying the flowers to the car. And I took out my phone and I said to my friend, I said, do you think I can take a picture of them? She goes, oh, no, put your phone away. Yeah. And I was like, why? And she goes, you can't take pictures of them. And I said, the kids? And she goes, no, the Amish. And I said, why? She said, because it steals their soul. They think it steals their soul. And yeah. I was like, oh.
Is that a common Amish belief?
I mean, she said it to me as if it, yeah.
You've heard that as well?
Oh, my God, yeah, for a long, long time, yeah.
That... I always thought that was sort of something that you would hear about, you know, in remote African villages or Amazonian, tribes or whatever.
No,
I never realized it was pervasive amongst the Amish community.
Growing up, we had several exchange students come and live with us. And in 1989, we had a French kid named Sebastian come. And Sebastian was an amateur filmmaker. He loved making movies. And we took him out to Amish country. He wanted to see where the house was where they filmed Witness. He loved the movie Witness. So he took out his camera and he was taking photos of these. And they would hold up their hands to their face.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's verboten. You're not allowed to do it, and it's really a sign of disrespect.
Would they do the thing where they draw a mustache on the side of their index finger?
No. I mean, like, there are so many tourists that
be awesome.
That go out to Pennsylvania Dutch country, and some people are just flat-out disrespectful.
Of course.
And I think that's where it came from.
That's probably what ruined it.
So, Nick, she said that she actually saw a group of kids. They were playing, and it was sort of just like a tourist taking a picture, you know, no harm. But they actually went over to the person and said, please don't, talk to them about it and said, please don't take our picture.
So once, do they, wow.
I was like, please.
To me, that seemed like hokum, and that didn't seem to be the case, but.
I wonder if that's religious doctrine for them, if it's written somewhere.
Or they have a deal with Android.
Yeah, maybe. That's an iPhone. We're not allowed.
Yeah, it's a Google thing we've got going on.
But, you know, a lot of what they do stems from religion, so maybe there's something they've interpreted in there that that says that's, I don't know.
And, I thought to myself, it's kids. You know what I mean? Like, you don't. Like, I wouldn't want somebody taking a picture of my kid, you know, so I thought, maybe she was saying it because they were little kids, but I was taking it, you know, from the back of them. You really wouldn't have known their identity. She was like, no.
The best way to preserve and respect someone's religion is to do it in secret and steal the pictures and their soul that way.
We had a friend growing up who was the same way, this guy Scott, and he did not want pictures. And we were always taking pictures of just whatever parties and
friends. He thought it was a soul-stealing thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
He had... he had Native American blood, and I couldn't tell you what, you know, tribe or if he knew the origin or anything like that, but he felt that it stole something from you. If you took a picture, so we wouldn't take pictures of him. We were on a ski trip, and we got him to get in one picture, if I remember. And he actually, it was by a window, and he hid behind the curtains, wow. And just his face was still.
Wow.
What did they do for, like, senior pictures, do you recall?
They're all, you know, blank.
Like for the portraits and the yearbook and stuff.
Well, you don't have to submit that. So, yeah, I guess he didn't do it. But
Was he Hakawi by any chance?
Where the heck are we? And I never really asked him about it. I was like, dude.
And you want to respect someone's, listen, if that's what someone believes, you know.
The Amish believe that photographs in which they can be recognized violate the biblical commandment, quote, thou shalt not make unto thyself a graven image, unquote. And they want to be remembered by the lives they lived and the examples they set, not by physical appearance. So also, if you see an Amish doll, there are no faces on the dolls themselves.
Well, I'd never noticed that, Nick.
Yeah.
Keep returning them because I figure they're broken.
What does a graven image mean? Graven? I don't really know. Okay.
Serious, well, I suppose?
Maybe. Listen, you know what's funny, interesting about, wow, here's pictures of Amish dolls with no faces on them.
That's creepy.
Okay.
That's super creepy.
So in about a month from now, my wife's cousins are coming in, or her cousin is coming in from Sweden, and he's bringing like 3 or 4 friends that are going to stay with us. Do you know where they want to go?
To
Lancaster?
They want to go to Intercourse.
Of course they do.
They want to go to Amish
country.
They're
Swedish.
Right. Oh, we'll take you there. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. There's not much to see.
You know
but,
what, though?
It's
beautiful.
Let me tell you something.
Beautiful country. No
Amish
question.
Stuff, all of that stuff. And there was some report on television. It's one of the most requested tourist areas and people to see Amish buggies moving along and Dutch Wonderland and
get
all
your
that stuff.
Pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I did take a picture of their horses. I wonder if that was
did the
right.
Horses put the hooves up over their feet?
No, but I will say that they were not.
No,
they were not friendly animals. And I put it. Up on my Instagram page.
Well, they knew you
Instagram
were an outworlder.
Story. No, but they like usually, you know, like the farm by my house. If I go over, the horses come over. They let you pet them. Like they just looked like they wanted nothing to do with us, even being near them.
Slut.
Graven equals engraved image.
Okay.
So I guess this doctrine came out prior to photographs being
no,
a
graven,
thing.
That doesn't mean engraved. It's a biblical quote. That can't be the
all
same.
All right, all right. Don't know.
Just well, maybe the, of course, you know, the apostles were known. They were all worked at things remembered.
No.
You're an apostle.
Yeah.
You're not to engrave things,
you engrave
right?
This, I wanted to say, Jesus, you're the best.
Yeah. Hang on, I'm going to go to Elizabeth, who lives in Oxford. Hi, Elizabeth. Good morning. Hey, what's up, Elizabeth?
So I live in Oxford, and actually, in Oxford, the majority of the population is Amish, it feels like.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the Amish, unfortunately, the kids, they walk home from school, and unfortunately, a lot of them don't wear, like, safety vests and stuff, so they get hit by cars. It's really sad, but, like, you can't put it in the newspaper since there's no pictures of them, so nobody really hears about it, and it's actually really upsetting.
So they won't wear the vests, or has anyone made an effort to approach them or to give them something that's a little reflective so they don't get hit, or what's the status of this?
In recent years, they have started to wear safety vests, like the reflective ones.
Okay.
So it has helped a little, but it's still like once a year you hear about it every so often.
Let me ask you, Elizabeth. So in the community and everything, they've always impressed me as pleasant people and good neighbors. I mean, what's your experience with them?
Yeah, they're awesome. I actually have family that lives across the street, and he's allergic to bees, and he got stung by a bee. And I guess the Amish saw that the ambulance had to come, and the next day they came over with all sorts of baked goods. They're really sweet people, and they're awesome neighbors for sure.
And now, how many of their souls have you stolen?
Stop it!
With your telephoto lens from your living room.
I will say they were like super nice, and the kids were adorable and so helpful and nice and sweet.
You did take that picture, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Did you tip them?
You know what? I did, and she looked like they were young, Nick. They were very young, but they looked like, what just happened? Why did you just give me that?
I was wondering.
I felt bad.
Well, how would they react to a tip? Do we know?
Like, she just went, oh,
like a little kid getting a few bucks. You know what I mean? That's how she reacted. Like, she was not expecting it.
What
at
were they
all.
Doing for you?
So I bought a ton of flowers.
Thanks, and Elizabeth.
A literal ton.
They were, I mean, pretty much. If you see the back of my car, they were carrying the boxes for me.
Like they loaded them up for you.
Yeah, okay. they helped carry them.
Okay. I will go next to Megan. Hey, Megan. Good morning.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, Megan?
Good, thanks. I just wanted to comment. My mom taught in an Amish and Mennonite school when I was growing up. We're more towards central Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And it really has nothing to do with stealing your souls. It's all about the prideful thing, not dressing yourself up, not taking pictures, exactly what I think it was Nick said.
All right, so it's more of that nature than the... Okay. Because in very primitive cultures, there's that soul-stealing thing, and it just didn't seem to jibe with the Amish.
Right. I've heard that about low country, kind of like if you go to like the basket markets in South Carolina and stuff,
right.
That definitely is kind of the voodoo soul stealing. But no, Amish and Mennonite, like Elizabeth, I think the former caller just said, very, very kind, very, very nice. Nothing to do with soul stealing. It's all about just, you know, keeping yourself kind of humble and part of the community, not celebrating like, you know.
But we still yourself. Can't. We still can't take pictures of them, though, right?
Right. Yeah. That's more just like a taking a picture at a zoo or something.
Hey, could you guys make a pyramid or something?
Yeah.
We're gonna make a good one.
Take a picture.
Wait a minute, Megan. The Low Country people. I'm not familiar with that.
So if you go to like the basket markets, like in Charleston and stuff like that, the women who do like the basket weaving and stuff,
the Hobbits.
That we were told was like a no-go because they really do think, kind of like in sort of the voodoo culture and things like that.
Oh, okay. I'm not
voodoo basket that. Makers. But
yes.
My favorite baskets are voodoo baskets.
Right, I know, right?
There's all these sort of sub-things that you
Thanks,
don't.
Megan.
Like, I would never have known about the because sometimes you do, I'm trying to think. I've seen sort of travel brochures with images of horse-drawn Amish carts.
But I guess you don't see their faces.
Maybe they draw them in after the picture's taken?
No, but like...
That's why they all look like Alec Baldwin.
Because I also wanted to take a picture of the horse and buggy going by.
And the horse? You can't... The horse?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about the horse. I did take pictures of the horse, but I don't know about the horse and buggy, but I didn't because she had told me not to take pictures of them.
Kathy, a few people are texting in talking about their treatment of the animals. They don't treat any of their animals like pets.
Oh, you're right. Yes.
They're working animals, right. And so part of the reason why the horses may not be the friendliest
be the
on
friendliest,
the planet
yes.
is because they're employees, essentially, of the Amish. They're
working. Not domesticated.
Yeah, no. You know, my friend said the same thing about the dogs.
Yeah, I mean, if they're taking the Bible a little more literally, man was made to rule over the animals. And
man was made for loving you.
And, well, Kiss said that, yes. I was made for loving you. And
so is it a case, Preston, like in the cartoon where they punch in the animals in the morning? Like
good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Sam.
Morning, Ralph.
Yeah. Morning, Jebediah.
I would love that.
It's a fascinating culture.
I wonder if they name their pets or not, if that is the case.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, they might not have names for them.
Just their social security number.
But, I mean, it was so much so that we noticed it, that those horses, they
wow.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go to Nick. Hi, Nick. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
What's up? So, I was actually a student in Millersville University for a semester back in 2016. And I was at this Turkey Hill food market. It's kind of like their version of Wawa.
Yeah.
And there's a group of Amish people, and they're taking selfies with, like, brand new iPhones. I'm like, okay, isn't that kind of weird since they don't like their pictures taken?
Nick, is it possible they were on Rumspringer?
Maybe. I don't know. They were literally, they were dressed in full head-to-toe Amish gear.
Were they younger?
Did they look like teenagers?
They were like a mix of adults and teenagers, like a whole family. There was like two adult women, a grown man with a full beard and everything.
Yeah, uh-huh. They could have been Mennonites.
Maybe. Mennonite men, I don't think, grow out the beard, though, do they?
No, they
might. They do
man
buns.
Really
man buns?
Man buns and Crocs.
They're all over Fishtown, man. They're overrun. Right.
They're the hipsters of the Amish community.
Because there are...
Yeah, bro.
There used to be, and it was an Amish market in...
Good day to you, roast beef.
North Wildwood, but they were, you know, working, like, electric cash registers and all
Booth's
that.
Corner has Amish working there.
And I don't know the difference between Amish and Mennonite, to tell you the truth.
One is definitely more, lives a more austere life of that.
But, I think just different religions. It's like a Protestant versus Catholic.
Mennonites are a little bit more, I would say, probably a tad more relaxed. But I tell you what, one of the best meals I ever had was at a Mennonite restaurant out there in Lancaster. I forget where it was, but it was, you know, everything was as fresh as could be. It was just fantastic.
And you've heard about Amish hookers, right? They sleep with three men a night?
Yeah. Waka, waka, waka.
Awesome.
Yep.
You're welcome.
There you go.
Yeah, it's your dad joke.
Yeah. Somebody throw him a cracker.
Yeah, yeah. Eat like a monkey.
I swear to you, Jebediah, I saw a man eat as a monkey would eat. He took the cracker thusly and separated, licking the innards. Ah, oh, you joke.
Let me go to you.
No
jest,
man
sir.
Eats as a monkey. I saw it. Get right. back to the farm with your monkey stories.
I'm going to go to Travis next. Hey, Travis, good morning.
Hey, sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's okay, buddy. What's up, man?
Nothing. So I actually got my dog from a legit Amish farm, not a puppy mill. Okay. I have a blue heeler, an Australian cattle dog. Mm-hmm. And when we pulled up, the guy was on his porch in the rocking chair. And we walked back into their barn where he kept all the cattle. And the mother and the two puppies came running out from underneath all the cattle, like jogging out between their legs and stuff. And they do name their animals.
Okay.
So my dog is Samson. He's always been Samson. He was named Samson. Mm. His sister was Shiloh. So they were mostly kind of biblical names.
Sure.
But his mom was the farm dog. It was her first litter. She was two. And his dad was the herding dog from the farm next door.
So you're saying these weren't puppy mill puppies. They were just legitimate dogs that they had on the farm that they sold to you.
Yeah, exactly. And we actually took him up, and he's an absolutely amazing working dog. I had him trained to herd. We took him up to Nazareth.
Wow.
Farm. Yeah, and it's one of the most rewarding things ever, because this dog is just he's a great working dog, and it's in his blood.
So when you interacted with them, totally fine, sociable and good, you know, nice people.
Oh my God, they were so nice. They took us back into the barn. They showed us their whole farm, and you know
their hot tub.
He was in a hot tub.
Yeah, this has Bluetooth, so we can play our music on it.
Exactly. It's actually funny. The dogs can.
The dogs keep. Yeah, they keep.
All right. Thanks, Travis.
All the maintenance on the hot tub.
Appreciate
wow.
It.
Wow. Yeah. Could you do think? You know, like as in Witness, you know, there's a certain, there's a charm to that, and I'm sure it would last the better part of a half hour, and then you'd want all your amenities.
I believe that Amish can, and I'm going to go to Chris here as more, like, they can ride in a vehicle. They just can't operate the vehicle.
So they can ride in like a Lamborghini?
Yeah. I believe so. Chris might be able to tell us more about that. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
Guys rock.
Thank you.
Yeah. So last summer I got all the windows in my house replaced, and my contractor was Amish. He wasn't Irish, but he was Amish.
This guy was Irish.
Irish.
Never seen one before in my life.
Don't take my picture, you're stealing my sword.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he was Amish, but he had an email address. He had an iPhone. He was riding around in a pickup truck. Apparently, if their church community allows it, they're allowed for work only to use technology.
Okay. Work. So there, you could then you could encounter a fully Amish-run Radio Shack.
Exactly.
Could you imagine?
What you looking for, brother?
Yeah. Name Samuel.
Yes.
On this,
our rechargeable batteries are in the back.
Interesting. So, and it also, thanks, Chris. I appreciate it. It also depends on how liberal your group is, because there are some that are very, very, very conservative, and there are other Amish groups that have some liberal tendencies to them. I have read. So,
yeah.
Or I saw that that movie with Tim Allen and
Kirstie
Alley.
Yeah, Kirstie Alley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, also, Kingpin's very
they
good.
They said
for,
that in Kingpin.
It's incredibly accurate. Amish culture, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And remember, we had that Not Your Average listener that drives the Amish to work.
Oh, yes!
That's right.
Yeah. Her name was Charlie.
And she had told us about the fact that they can, you know, as long as they're not operating,
right.
they can drive
to the radio show.
I think I told you guys about this on air. But there's that, if you're headed west on the school expressway, there's that new Home Depot where they store salt and stuff like that on, mm-hmm. on the right end. When they were making that, there was like an Amish barn raising.
God
they
almighty.
Had,
it's
they
amazing.
Had Amish guys working on the outside of it. And in order for them to get there, they needed to get a ride. You know, it's right yeah. off the Schuylkill Expressway.
It's yep. amazing how they do it and how quickly they do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Another quick call and we got to take a break. I'm going to go to Darren. Hi, Darren.
Chris Bone. How's it going, man?
Good, buddy. What's up, man?
It's your neighbor from Dover and Skipack. Hey.
Hey.
I went to a Mennonite church, Methacta Mennonite Church. They're over 250 years old. Difference between Amish and Mennonite, they both come Anabaptist. And the only difference is one's more modern than the other.
Okay, okay, Mennonite, as we assumed. Yeah.
Yeah, Mennonites, there is a difference. The older style or whatever you know, whatever you want to call it. We call them black bumper Mennonites. They drive cars, but no, nothing flashy. And whereas we have radio, TV, fancier cars, that kind of stuff.
Right, they have iPads and ViewMasters. We have televisions and theaters, stuff like that.
yeah, pretty much, yeah.
All right, so they just reel it back a little bit to some extent. And
yeah.
Okay.
The Amish, they do cheat. They started cheating, and they got a little more modernized.
Yeah.
They use power tools, you know, like you said, registers, things like that. They drive trucks, haul trailers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know.
Teslas. Right.
Cool. Thanks, Darren. Appreciate it, man.
Mennonites, yep. Gorlinites.
Right. Okay. Well, I didn't know the picture thing, the photographs. And
I'm glad I know. Yeah. I might have made that mistake, and I would not want to offend somebody, yeah. You know, if that's their belief.
Yeah. But we never could figure out the guy, Scott, that I knew, why he was, that was his thing. He just, no pictures, man, steals your, he was of the it steals your soul
huh.
thing somehow or another. Now, I don't think that he believed that if one picture was taken, that he was forever, you know, lost of his soul, whatever that means.
Yeah.
But he...
You just lost a percentage.
Maybe a little bit here and there. And eventually, if you did a full photo shoot,
you'd be gone.
Dead inside.
You'd be like in Back to the Future.
Yeah.
You'd be disappearing.
Yeah, maybe so. All right. Anyhow, thanks for the calls. We appreciate it. I want to take a break because when we return, Dave Attell is going to be on the program.
Yeah.
But not before I thank our friends from Campos for stopping by this morning and Dietz and Watson, a real Philly deli, of course. And they stay true to their motto. Wait a minute. This says this.
What? Well, okay. That's a different one. They're coming later.
Oh, they're coming later today?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. What? Well, anyhow, thank you, Campos. You can see why they're featured on the Food Network or out to you can also go to Swarthmore Co-op because they're going to be here, too. And experience their commitment to buying local. Dietz and Watson has you covered with their Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guide. We'll be back in a moment.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're waiting to get Dave Attell on in a moment. Sometimes I lose emails, man, and I mean to, and I mean to pass information along. I just found this one sitting underneath a stack of stuff, and I got it back on April 28th. But I wanted to mention this, Nick. If you could make see if this GoFundMe page is still up or not. This is from Matt. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. Starts with an S. South Jersey said, "Been listening to your show since I was in fifth grade, about 14 years ago." Hoping you can be able to bring some attention to something my cousin's young son is going through. His name is Waylon Dean Steiner, and he was born with a rare disease called type 1 osteogenesis imperfecta. You've probably heard of this before if you watched the movie Unbreakable. It's
yes.
What Mr. Glass has,
oh, boy.
Commonly known as brittle bone disease. He's consistently experienced broken bones from the time he was born, including a broken tibia twice, his collarbone, multiple toes, and multiple compression fractures in his spine and neck. I've seen many specialists during the first few years of his life, but was always misdiagnosed until recently. Long story short, he is required to fly to Omaha, Nebraska, to visit specialists and receive bone infusions every 3 months for the next 15 years of his life or until he's done growing. So They're asking if we'll put the GoFundMe page up. It's there, right?
Yes, sir. So, excuse me, sorry. It is on the community page of PresidentSteve.com. There's a really cute photo of Waylon in a Captain America mask.
Yeah.
And so if you need the information and the link to the GoFundMe page, it is right on our website.
All right, cool. And any other, you know, events or people who need a hand, that stuff is available on the events page of PresidentSteve.com for you to check out. Casey?
Yeah, well, speaking of events, I wanted to mention that Team WMMR, Rock and Rollers, we got the, it used to be called Tour to Shore, now it's called Bend to the Beach, maybe, but it's all the same thing. I'm just going to call it Tour to Shore until I figure it out. My team is having a fundraiser on Thursday night. If you recall, our team jerseys last year.
Yes, very popular.
Were like the talk of the town. And so this year, what I'm planning on doing is I'm planning on doing a vote on Thursday. I have like four jersey ideas. And if you're on my team and you want to come and vote, come to the Irish Pub at 20th and Walnut. We're going to be there from 8 to 10 p.m.
It's a jersey selection party.
It's a jersey selection party, but you got to pay to vote.
All right.
You don't get a free vote. You got to pay to vote, and then all the proceeds go towards Team WMMR and Families Behind the Badge charity. But there's also going to be $4 Bud Light pints during the event and some other things going on. But I'm telling you, like, I have some really, really good jersey ideas, and it's really tough for me to key in on the one. So I'm going to leave that up to you guys.
Well, listen, you're going to do it the Democratic way. And last year's jersey was highly coveted.
Yes, it was. And the only way to get a jersey is to be on the team. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Pony up.
Very good. He's ready to go.
Yes.
He's on the phone line, and he's going to be in town. He's going to be at the Borgata on May 25th. He and Jeff Ross, who is he that I am speaking of? Ladies and gentlemen, one of our favorites, David Tell.
Yeah.
On the phone. Hey, Dave.
Guys, how are you? What's up?
We are great, man. We're doing well. Just trying to make our way through the week. Where are you right now?
Well, I'm in New York, and to be honest, I'm a little... blown away with the Doris Day thing.
The Doris Day thing. Were you a fan? I seriously was a Doris Day fan. It was, at 90s.
Not only was I a fan, I think I'm the youngest fan. And I'm 54 years old.
No, it's true. There, yeah, that. But there was a time, man. I even remember the Doris Day TV show, but... you know, I like the 4:30 movie growing up in New York, they'd have all those... Rock Hudson Doris Day movies, and it's kind of like something you got used to. So, but at 97, it's not as if it wasn't expected.
What a life.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So,
yeah. And, you know, speaking of old, me and Jeff, the two guys, we will be at the Borgata, and it's a big holiday week, and so we added a show.
Nice.
We had sold out a show, and we said, hey, you know what, let's add a show.
Nice.
And that way we can, you know, beat the traffic.
It's all about beating the traffic. You get to that point in entertainment and you got to play the traffic right. Well, this is great because, you know, fans of the Bumping Mics show on Netflix. And listen, you guys, obviously, you're great together. It's a great...
A lot of fun.
A lot of fun. The Borgata is perfect for comedy. So you guys, you must be having a blast doing this.
And here's the beauty of it. You know, my friend goes, hey, I want to come to the show, and I'm like, well, why aren't you? And they're like, you know, there's no hotel rooms in Atlantic City. I go, hey, whatever happened to sleeping in your car, huh? Haven't you ever been to Atlantic City?
Exactly.
That's the only way you know your car will be there, if you sleep in it.
Good point. Hey, I saw a pic of you and Bert Kreischer and Gilbert Gottfried together. I guess Bert's got a cooking show you guys are on there together.
Yes. Yeah, that's boy, that Bert is so funny. He's such a good guy.
Yep.
He reminds me a lot of myself when I was a lot younger with a liver that worked. He really knows how to drink this kid.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It was me and Gilbert, and Bert is kind of like trying to do this, like, you know, I guess you could call it like a galloping gourmet, you know, John Ramsay kind of thing where he kind of cooks and talks at the same time. So it was fun, but he's not that great a cook, you know.
No, but he does the show is good because he is at home in the kitchen. What he's exactly doing there, no one knows, but... but it is good, and it's a good. There's something very relaxing about it. Gilbert, is so great. And he's so it's funny because when he comes in and does the show here, he comes in and he's, you know, very, very quiet, sedate. The second, you know, the on-air lights come on, boom, he's Gilbert. Is that your experience with him when you do shows with him?
When I'm with Gilbert, I feel like I'm kind of almost like his interpreter. Like, Bert will ask something to Gilbert, and Gilbert will look at him puzzled, and I'll go like, you know, he wants to know what it was like in Brooklyn. Gilbert will, like you said, turn on and be Gilbert.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say Gilbert is not not the most improvisational, but when he is on, there is nobody better. He is one of my favorites. He definitely is, I think, an icon of comedy. And, you know, his wife, Dara, is really the guiding force behind that team there. She puts together his podcast and, like, you know, all of his dates and everything like that. She packs his bag, you know, like that kind of thing. And without her, the whole thing would fall apart. But
yeah.
Gilbert is definitely – that's so cool that you guys have him on so much, because for the fans, I mean, like, Gilbert definitely is a treasure.
He really is.
Yeah. Like, the kind of treasure you find in a – like hours after cleaning out a hoarding house.
that's what Gilbert got, that kind of treasure.
Choices that you find like a rare coin. You're like, whoa, an Indian head. Like awesome.
The dead woman's been taken out. Yeah, like, the 30 dead cats.
Yeah, just like a fish tank, nothing in it, you know, horrible things.
And then there's Gilbert Godfrey.
Oh, that's great. I love how generous you are, and I'm not just talking about with your money and things like that.
And my time. Don't forget my time.
Well, that's what I was going to talk about. You're super generous with
you.
How many
bad screenplays I've listened to over the years?
Yeah.
Like a friend who's like, I'm just going to light a joint, and then I just want to read you something. Oh. And it's always like a screenplay. It's never like a quick joke or anything. It's
right.
A long... whatever, Mueller report. I'm like, what?
The Mueller report, you get right.
Like, just let me, just a couple of pages, all right? Like 200 or 300 pages, man.
But I loved how generous you are with the stage time, because I watched Bumping Mics, and I'm telling you, like, you could have just been the only person on the stage and killed. But, like, I guess you're just such a fan of comedy and these other comedians that you work with that, you know, you purposely are taking a back seat to give them the spotlight, and I love that about you.
Well, here's the cool thing about working with Jeff is, like, Jeff knows everybody. And Jeff also, the one thing that we both love is that, like, we want it to be fun for, like, the crowd.
Yeah.
Any comics we bring up, and especially ourselves, like, we love, like, the kind of spontaneity of it. Like, you guys, you know, you roll with the guests, and, like, that's really what makes it special, and the audience loves it. And that's the same thing with the Bumping Mic thing. It's like, you know, whoever is in the room is on the show, whether they know it or not. And, like, when Jeff's around, it definitely is, like, we get some A-listers. We get his whole family will be there. I mean, so there's a lot of people to play with. So it's always fun to do that. And the fact that we, you know, the director, Andrew, he totally got it right away. He's like, you know, this is as important part of it as any joke. And that's the cool thing that we do, because we do that, like, when we're doing it for ourselves, like, just fun, quick shows. Or, like, a long show, you know, we love to have other people on stage with us. And that's, I think, what the best part about comedy is, that, like, it is that flexible, you know, that you can really take it that way. And a lot of people do it. Not people are as good at it as Jeff is. And Jeff is really good. I mean, like, he's trained, like, from, I'll say, a decades of roasting. I mean, like, he is great with, like, regular people, anywhere, everywhere, all the time. He can do it. And, like, I have that kind of same skill, you know, from doing the Insomniac show and just selling shoes. So I know how to do talk to people, but, you know, not every comic can do it. A lot of them are kind of like shut down, you know.
Well, you know what it is, it's a throwback to, and I love this, you know, the older style of variety show, Carson in the early days, and that sort where just people would show up, you'd panel, they'd hang out, hey, how would this guest jibe with this guy? And you just throw it out there, and every time, you know, you watch the show, people just love it. And, you know, you've had, what, Paul Rudd and Amy Schumer and Bob Saget. You've had people show up.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Look, how about Bruce Willis? I mean, like, that guy, you know, another, like, I never thought he would come by. You know?
Yeah. I mean, and that sort of stuff. So let me ask you. I don't know if you have any indicators. I mean, obviously, you run a sort of an open playing field. But anybody you know might show up at the Borgata shows? Or, you know, who will be in town? Have you done any investigating? Or you're just...
Well, I put some feelers out to Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Black Kodak.
It's a holiday weekend, man.
A lot of emails. Now, I don't know. I really know it's a holiday weekend, so I really have no idea who would be in town. But, you know, with Jeff, you know, he always invites – here's a call I always get from Jeff, like, when we're getting close to the gig. It's like, hey, can I – you're not using your comps, are you? Because I have, like, four cousins and, like, an Instagram celebrity that I really want to get in the show. I'm like, oh, sure, go ahead.
Yeah,
like, that
yeah.
kind of thing. So we never know. And, you know, the Brigada is a really cool room. It really is. I think every comic loves the fact that it's, like – it's its own entity. I mean, you guys have been there a million times.
Yeah.
It really is a great place to do, you know, just straight up stand up. And, like, you know, from Seinfeld to us, like, everybody definitely likes to go to the, everybody just loves the crowd because you get, like, the best of the best. You get to Jersey, you get to South Philly, you know. You might even get a few interlopers in from Maryland. You never know.
No, sir, no. Hey, listen, if you score Ruth Bader Ginsburg, yeah, that's
that'll be great.
That'll make the papers.
And you know what? I will say, you know, I also go on the road alone. Like, this weekend I'll be in Albany.
Right.
And there are some times when I'm on the road alone and I'm like, yeah, I wish Jeff was here, you know, because I'm sure the crowd feels the same way. But I'd be like, you know, it'll be cool to, like, you know, riff with him right now. But, yeah. You know, I also do like to – I like doing my own thing, too, the straight
sure.
up, you know, like full tilt, you know, a lot of jokes. I'm a joke guy, so that's what I did. And when you brought up Bert, you know, Bert's on, like, this massive tour, like 200 cities and stuff. And we're all on the road all the time. Like, Gilbert is, I am, whatever. So, like, when we all get together, it's a fun time, you know. It's like a chance to, like, really just kind of let it out. And, you know – I'll say one thing about Bird and, like, the next generation of comics. These guys are a lot of fun. They get it. They're really connected to the fans. They kind of well, I'll say right now, it's like 24/7 with the fans. You know, it's like yeah. as we were doing the cooking show, he was also tweeting and, yeah. You know, Instagramming, all that kind of stuff. Things that back in the day, like, you know, I was going to ask Gilbert, like, did you ever, like, think of sending out a, I guess not a tweet, maybe a telegraph or a
like, send out random telegrams to people.
To thank the club.
Oh, my God.
Like Pony Express.
Yeah, you see a lot of those guys, their stars are definitely rising, and they're going from playing clubs, and now they're doing theaters and stuff
yep.
like that. And I love how, well, I mean, you can play so many different types of rooms. And it doesn't necessarily change your act one bit. I saw you at the Wilbur up in Boston. I've seen you
another
at
great
Helium.
Theater. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I wanted to let you know. I wasn't sure if you were aware of this, but Preston Steve probably won't bring this up. But they're being awarded next month for the National Association of Broadcasters for their efforts for the Camp Out for Hunger. And so you came out and did our comedy show this past year. And I wanted to let you know about the totals this past year with your help. Dave, we raised over 1.8 million pounds of food and almost $200,000. And
wow.
And we really wanted to thank you because you offered to headline yep. that comedy night on
yeah.
Monday night. Like, we didn't even have to come to you. You came to us, and we really appreciate that.
Yep.
Can I say one thing? I've done a lot of benefits, but that one to me is the most organic, and I know that one is used, overused that word, but it's so organic where people – pull up, they bring the food, they get to hang out, they see you guys on the mic, there's, you know, things going on, and then there's a show. To me, it seems like that's how they all should be. It's exciting. I think it's really exciting.
Oh, that's all. I mean, honestly, I mean, to Casey's point, yeah.
But there were so many good comics. Voss was there. what's his name? Joe was there too, right?
Yeah, you brought Louis Katz.
Louis Katz. There were so many good comics there, but... what I was going to say is, like, I wonder how much money they would have raised if I didn't go on.
No, man, you
tell me.
You're self-deprecating, which is a trait we all love, but you're definitely a major attraction. And I wanted to ask you about I know you're desiring, you talk about the comedians, you know, and the various generations, about your Mount Rushmore of comedians. And who's ending up on that right now for you?
That's a tough one because of the living or dead. I mean,
you pick it.
Well, the dead ones are always the ones that I feel like need the most credit. But I feel like it's ad nauseum that I talk about it. But like Patrice, Mitch Hedberg, and Geraldo were the three that I did know. And I always think that they're kind of like in the comedy world, they're well known. And then like on the outskirts of the comedy world, you know, like the, I guess you could say the next level. few people know of them, and like they should really check them out.
I think you're right. Greg Giraldo, getting him on the show here was great. That the times he came in, he's like you know, you're a comedian's comedian. I mean, the wealth of sharp material and observational stuff. And it's just, it even still blows my mind to think that he's not around, because you look at, you know, Jeff is obviously the roast master, but when Giraldo would get onto a roast, he would say things.
Oh, yeah. It was a knife fight. I mean, like, there was no holding back. There was definitely a few years where it was like Jeff and Lisa Lampanelli and Greg, where it was like, you know, everybody was thrown in. There was no pulling of punches. I mean, that was a different time. You could really look back on the un-PC-ness of that.
And yeah. Like,
One thing about Jeff, he's fearless, and I really do give it to him, because I do work with a filter. I've said this on radio, and I've said every, it's like, I work with a filter. I get it now. Like, what it's like, for me, it's like, you know, hide the joke, hide what you're really talking about, like if it's politics or whatever. Try and make it more like where it's something about Allison, you know, like a Twilight Zone, you know. It's like, oh, that was about the Cold War. I didn't know that. I thought it was, you know, something like that. So I try and do that. It's kind of like I guess you could say it's more of a psych out on myself. But with Jeff, he'll just blurt it out. You know, it doesn't even have to be a joke. He'll get it out. It's always like the elephant in the room. He wants to get it out, and then he'll talk about it. And, you know, I really do applaud that, especially for guys who've been doing it this long, like us, for him to go like, you know what, you know, it's ridiculous. Funny is funny. That's what he thinks.
Yeah.
And I agree with him that, like, you know, everybody should be able to take a punch.
Yeah.
And that the fun of it is that these are just jokes. And that, you know, everybody at the end, they might groan or whatever, but they had a good time. And they know they did, you know. And that's really what it should be. I guess the younger generation, they overthink, or they've been taught that, like, certain things are taboo and all that kind of stuff. Good for them, but I don't see them having such a great time. You know,
listen, I know
green tea right now, talking about the keto diet with a total stranger. So, I mean, that's not a great time either. You know?
I know that the big immortal names like Carlin and Pryor and so forth on the Mount Rushmore deserve to be there.
For me, I would say Sam Kennison.
Yeah,
I would put Bill Hicks up there. Carlin, who I am, you know, like a huge fan of, because he's kind of like the George Washington of like the new, I guess you could say the new comic. But, you know, like the people that I would want to see, the people I've seen and the people I'd like to see would be Sam Kinison. It would be, of course, you know, Rodney Dangerfield again. I'd love to see him again. He was the most giving to all the comics. He really was the one who like started a bunch of careers, helped people along, really enjoyed his success. And, like, there's very few people that I think really do success well. One of them is Ron White. He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
On and off the stage, he's a lot of fun. He's super funny. And, like, he'll roll into, like, the Comedy Store in L.A. and just do a set. You know, he will not. He doesn't care. He's a comic. It's not like it doesn't have to be a big theatrical production. He's like, I just want to do a set, you know, and it'll just roll up.
But you said Patrice O'Neill. And, dude, he was one of the most naturally funny guys I've ever experienced.
He would have a load of fun with all the hypocrisy now, because that was his big thing. It's just like, you know, that's not true and that wouldn't happen. He loved to call people on that.
Yeah. He was spot on.
Have a field day. May I say a buffet of great times.
You know who's the guy? You know who's the guy who doesn't get mentioned? And I don't know if you're a fan, but Jackie Vernon. Do you remember Jackie Vernon?
Yes, I do. But I can't like say a bit of his, but I would say that definitely is like three generations of comics before me, if not more. You know, those are the guys who, you know, their road was the Borscht Belt, you know, like go to the mountains and all those kind of gigs. So I give it up to those guys, too. They really did, like, you know, that was really the wilds of comedy, you know. That's a different time than now. Now it's like you play a coffee house somewhere, you know, virtual reality or something. I don't know.
Talking about the keto diet.
Well, since we're throwing all these names out here, I did have somebody text earlier this morning and wanted to ask if you've talked to Amy Schumer since she had the baby. We know
you guys
are
tight.
And did she name the baby after you? Somebody?
No.
Okay.
She has the middle name is my name, which is a compliment.
Okay.
And I asked her immediately, so do I have to put him through college? I was like, am I now? But she's so always been so good to me. And, like, you know, I know her for years. So it was the ultimate compliment, I guess. And, you know, I immediately was like, you know, I feel sorry for that kid, you know, whatever. But, you know, he's adorable. She's doing great. So, yes, it was a very big, I guess you could say, shock.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I said, why don't you just, you know, give him a more successful name, you know? Just like,
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah, Bill Gates Schumer.
Yeah, Warren Buffett. I love it, man. Well, listen, so two shows at the Borgata, May 25th. There's an 8 and 11 o'clock show. Both of these are being filmed for Bumping Mics?
No, we won't be filming.
Okay.
I'm telling you right
just
now.
Having
we won't
fun.
Be filming. We're on the road now. Like, a lot of it is like just, you know, Jeff and I, we both go do different things. Jeff has another show that's coming out on Netflix this August, the historical roast, where they dress up in as historical costumes.
Oh, love it!
And do it. So,
oh, wow.
And that's I would say that this is the what would I say? This is like the final Avengers movie in the roasting franchise. There,
okay.
But now he's excited about it. I've heard about it. I haven't seen it yet, but I know it's going to be hilarious. So check that out.
Right.
We will be working on our stuff, but not really much taping. But like I said, you never know what's going to happen. And for those of us, for those of the people who are going, really be careful. It is a holiday weekend. So, you know, whether you come to see me there or up in Albany this weekend, you know, this is like definitely be careful.
Yes.
Right, that's what I'm
gonna say. Get to the show and sleep in your car.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And can I say it again? I am so excited for you guys. Congratulations. What a well-deserved honor, the award and all that kind of stuff.
Thank
I think
you.
It's great. And, you know, once again, you guys are angels, man. You're good to the comics.
Hey,
you're good to the people. So.
And thank you for the love. We know you went on with Rogan since last time we spoke and had some nice to see.
Yeah, another big fan of you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
we appreciate
Joe as well.
It.
So thanks, Dave. We appreciate the love, man.
All right, guys.
All right, take care.
I hope to see somebody at the show.
Yeah,
you got
we'll
it. David
there,
Tell,
yeah.
guys. And Jeff Ross, Borgata May 25th. What can you say, man?
God, man.
He's amazing.
They are never not freaking hilarious.
Yep. Tickets are $49, man. Seeing those two guys together,
mm-hmm.
That's pretty sweet.
Sleeping in your car.
TheBorgata.com to get that information.
All right, hotline's ringing again. I wonder if that's him again.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot something. Who knows?
Is it Dave? Him?
Yeah. All right. All right, anyhow, we should take a quick break. I would like to remind you that Dietz and Watson is here this
yeah.
morning. We thank them for being here. And Campos Deli and is it Swarthmore Co-op? Case? I got to make sure.
I say Swarthmore.
Yeah.
Swarthmore Co-op.
I know there's specifics on pronunciation, so I'll go with you. Swarthmore Co-op.
Yep.
They brought in food this morning, helping to promote all the fantastic delis in our area that Dietz and Watson is featuring in their Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guide. You can check them out at realphillydeli.com. We'll take a break and be right back. Bizarre Follow Stories coming up.
Here we go.
Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Join the MM Army Thursday from 4 to 6 at Ardent Credit Union, 1801 Market Street in Center City for an MM Barbecue 2019 ticket raid. Win tickets every 10 minutes. Hang with Casey Boy Thursday from 8 to 10 at the Irish Pub, 2007 Walnut Street in Philly, to vote for your favorite team jersey design for the MMR Rock and Rollers at the 2019 Bend to the Shore. Enjoy $4 Bud Light pints during the event.
93.3 WMMR, everything and everywhere that rocks.
All right, let's take another shot at this. We got the Bizarre File.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning it is brought to you by Coors Light. You can join the Preston and Steve show, us. Live from Keenan's on Friday, May 24th, presented by Coors Light, the Jersey Shore's most refreshing beer. I think I'm going to dig up a story that for some reason or another I have skipped over like the past week or so.
Really?
And I finally want to get to it. Yeah, here it is. Andy and Magnus Tate took in everywhere they could go on this 2,000-mile adventure that they spent 6 years planning. The fun-seeking duo visited streets, villages, and towns that had funny titles. Now, these guys live in the UK. So highlights included Cumwinton, Fanny Street, Upper Thong, Butthole Lane.
Oh wow.
Willie. And these are real names, okay?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's a place called Titty Ho.
Titty Ho.
And Sandy Balls.
Sandy Balls.
So they went around and they took pictures of all these signs of these towns and streets all around, and they've compiled them. They also visited Pound Bottom, Cockermouth, Penis Stone.
Yeah.
Butthole Bell End. These are real names. Lower Swell. And some of these are like Fanny. There's one called Fanny Street. A Fanny is, that means vagina.
Oh, in because here it means an ass.
Yeah, it's the other way around there.
Hey, they're so crazy, aren't they?
Yeah, they're crazy. So, butt comb, Shaftesbury, Old Sodbury, Lickford, Fringe Ho, Sluts Hole Lane.
So is our gash their butthole?
It might be. Scunthorpe.
Scunthorpe.
Rimswell.
Yeah.
I like that one. And Wet Wang.
Man, they have a whole bunch.
We're on their list as well. The lad spent 4 days on the road trip and took a selfie with 34 roads, town, or village signs. The remarkable blue tour of Britain saw them trekking through at least 25 counties on each of the northeast and southwest and west coasts. It took 6 years for Andy and for him to meticulously map it out. And he dreamed up the idea as he drove past a place that was called South Gash in northern Scotland in 2013 with his brother Magnus.
So they had their own gash.
He said he couldn't help but laugh at the signpost. And ever since that day, he researched locations of other hilariously named places and then went on to painstakingly map out the route, incorporating 34 stops in almost every corner of Britain. A few of the other places that they hit were Cock Lakes, Coat Hill, Cockermouth, Clit Hero.
Oh my God!
These are names of towns.
Don't kill the messenger. We're just delivering usable information.
Buttcombe, Cocking, Lickford, Fanny Hands Lane, Coxhoe, and back to Bellenden Gardens. So some of these they don't sound too funny.
Maybe over there they're
in the UK. They might.
So disgusting.
Those guys worked hard and wanted their efforts to be known.
So, and we did.
I got that to pass along to you. Well, after hours of delays, a man on Southwest Airlines on a flight from Sacramento to Los Angeles was kicked off. This is ridiculous. After he jokingly asked if water being handed out by a flight attendant was vodka.
I saw this. This is incredibly stupid.
Yeah, listen to this story. Now, a fellow passenger says that it was the flight attendant who overreacted to a joke. He said, this is according to Peter Uzalak. He said, I've been flying for decades. I've never seen anything like this. Wednesday afternoon, Uzalak was on a flight to Austin, Texas, with a stop in L.A. While on the tarmac at LAX, a maintenance light came on. Uzalak said it was minor, but they want to go back to the gate and check it out and see. And then the flight was delayed again. He said, you know, we've been burning fuel, he said. So by the time they needed to refuel, a few hours had passed. So the flight attendants had started to pass out water to all the passengers.
Right.
That's when Uzalak said the man next to him made the joke. He said something like, hey, they should be passing out vodka because we've been waiting so long. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all the guy said. Uzalak said the flight attendant, who he described as young, did not take kindly to that comment.
What did you say?
She came by and was like, I don't think that, and I didn't like your joke. And then my wife tried to butt in there and say, look, we've been on this plane for hours. And so she says, the flight attendant said, so what? So have I, and you have to get used to it.
That's a great way to interact with your public.
Uzalak and the other passengers were shocked by the flight attendant's reaction. He said, and then all of a sudden, I see her on the telephone up in front. And that's when the plane turned back to the gate again, and several sheriff's deputies came on board and asked the man next to Uzalak to leave.
And weren't passengers around them coming to their support?
People started yelling. In fact, people stood up. I stood up. People were saying that this man didn't do anything, according to Uzalak. And the sheriff's office says the man was not charged with any crime, though. Uzalak says he's filed a complaint against the flight attendant with Southwest. Southwest said...
Good PR.
Said in a statement, we regret any less than positive experience a customer has on board our aircraft. We welcome over 100 million customers each year, and we aim to maintain the comfort of all while delivering Southwest hospitality. We will share this report to our customer relations team.
But no vodka jokes, please.
Yeah, whatever you do.
I mean, you can joke about bombs all you want, but no wine or spirits.
Lay off the vodka.
Yeah.
All right, so here's a developing story. German police are investigating the deaths of three people who were found in a rural Bavarian hotel impaled by crossbow bolts.
Yo!
Whoa!
A chambermaid discovered the bodies in a room alongside two crossbows. So far, there is no sign that another person was involved. The relationship between... And I have an update on this because I saw it this morning, but I didn't read the full details. The relationship between the three victims, a man aged 53 and two women aged 30 and 33... Oh, this is Game of Thrones... remains unclear. The hotel stands in an idyllic spot by the Ilz River near the city of Paso.
This is a whole lot of crazy.
Another hotel guest who was staying in the hotel for a short break said that it had been completely quiet that night. The hotel manager said the three dead who were All German had planned to stay for 3 nights, but had not ordered breakfast. The man and a 33-year-old woman were found lying hand in hand on the bed, shot with bolts to the head and chest. The other woman was lying in a pool of blood on the floor with a bolt through the chest. Police have seized a white pickup truck parked outside, which has stickers reportedly linked to a hunting club. Now, the update that I saw is they found two more bodies.
Two more bodies?
No. Yeah, so I haven't read the full story yet, and I will eventually get to that. A hotel guest said the man had a long white beard and the women were dressed in black and described them as strange.
Some sort of ritual, perhaps?
Or a murder. I mean, on arrival on Friday evening, they simply wished their guests a good evening, then went upstairs to their second floor room with bottles of water and Coca-Cola. That's what the witness said.
Can we have some more pillows and a few crossbows, please?
Isn't that weird? So I will try and find the latest
that's
on that.
That's effed up.
And see if there's more. But crossbow bolts, that's really weird. All right, and that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. At this point in time, let's take a quick break. We will... What do we got to do? You know what?
We got things.
We got Tattoos Day coming up. We'll get a winner for that in a little while. So if you have not texted the word tattoo, make sure you do that to 39333. And also don't forget that we have the coolest teacher that we want to have you vote on. And this time around, it is Ruston High School in Westchester, PA. Text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name in 39333. We'll see who wins by tomorrow. One vote per number. We'll be back in just a moment.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Rival Sons on 93.3 WMMR. Open my eyes. The Preston and Steve Show. On Tuesday, 2 days into the work week, we'll get our second letter for the word of the week prize. You might end up right down in the pit for MMRBQ. You and five friends, because we got a six-pack of tickets to give away for that prize. So it's coming along shortly. We'll do it in just a little bit. I've been getting a number of texts. We have a birthday among us, and we didn't even know it. Today is Intern Dean's birthday.
What?
Yes.
This can't be.
Intern Dean is out in the green room. Intern Dean, he's kind of a quiet guy. He's very understated. Yeah. He's not very soft-spoken. But he celebrates his birthday today, and the students at East Stroudsburg wanted us to know.
East Stroudsburg?
Yeah. So happy birthday. Did I say Stroudsburg?
You said Stroudsburg.
Oh, Stroudsburg. Sorry, Stroudsburg. So happy birthday, Dean.
Dean.
Do we want to tell the Dean a story?
Yeah, tell him.
Yeah, so we were getting a call from Howard Dean, who of course infamously he was running for president, and he screamed at a rally, and it was isolated on the microphone, and it turned into that, and we were going to have him on the air, Casey answered the hotline, and what did you say to him?
I was like, "Hey, Senator Dean, Howard Dean,
Dean,
he goes, Dean."
It was awesome. So that's our Dean moment. All right, so we're going to do that's still a great yell.
It's great.
And we're going to go in Michigan and California.
That's my brother's text message tone.
That's great.
Really? Oh, I love it. Yeah.
I mean, a lot. He himself believes that might very well have killed his momentum.
It definitely, yeah. It was a laughing stock the day after he did it, and it certainly certainly had an effect. All right, so today's lesson question, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Asbury Park Riot Redemption Rock and Roll, which is a movie premiering in theaters for 2 days only, May 22nd, 29th. So, and also a $25 Jersey Mike's gift card that we will give you. Question that we have this morning is the TV show Empire is coming to an end. But which spinoff show will feature actor Jussie Smollett? You remember this?
I think I do.
215-263-WMMR. The TV show Empire is coming to an end. But what spinoff show will feature actor Jussie Smollett? It was the name of a show that we heard this morning. 215-263-WMMR. While you're calling, we'll do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, brought to you by Rita's Water Ice. Rita's most popular flavor of Italian ice is the delicious and fruity mango. Enjoy mango ice and so many different frozen treats at Rita's. You can't mango wrong. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Michael Jackson's son, Prince Jackson, graduated on Saturday, receiving his degree from Loyola Marymount University in L.A. Prince addressed his graduating class, noting that his father was a big believer in education and often enjoyed matriculating all over students.
Shamona.
Patriots owner Robert Kraft winning a legal victory after a judge-determined video of the billionaire being serviced at the Orchids of Asia Spa will not be released. Said the judge, quote, "It's basically like watching a tiny chick work the pull cord on a lawnmower."
Oh, my God.
And finally, a tearful Felicity Huffman pled guilty in federal court yesterday to charges related to the Varsity Blues investigation. Huffman told the judge, quote, "Sometimes we give birth to geniuses, and sometimes we give birth to stop eating dirt." And that's your Hollywood track.
All right, T, we will see if you were paying attention this morning. And the TV show Empire is coming to an end, but which spinoff show would feature actor Jussie Smollett? And our first caller in was Todd, so I'm going to go to him. Hey, Todd, good morning.
Morning, guys. Sorry to rubber you guys at work.
Oh, all good, right, dude. So what is the name of the spinoff show that will feature Jussie Smollett?
Smollett Wonder.
Yes. Hang on, Todd. For you, a pair of tickets to see Asbury Park Riot Redemption Rock and Roll premiering in theaters for 2 days only. May 22nd and 29th, and a $25 Jersey Mike's gift card. You can see Steve Van Zandt, Southside Johnny, David Sanchez, and Bruce Springsteen return to the legendary Upstage, as well as never-before-seen interviews and cinema-exclusive performances. For tickets and information, visit AsburyParkMovieTickets.com. Let's get on to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Okay, music news is brought to you this morning by Primo Hoagies. The world's best hoagie has a unique opportunity for you to join the Primo brand and own your very own Primo Hoagies in Old City.
Wow!
Contact Adam at PrimoHoagies.com for more information. I'm going to lead with this, Steve. We didn't get a chance to get to it earlier, and I'm intrigued. I didn't get a chance to hear this. Doris Day passed away. She was 97 years old.
Yes.
And Doris Day was well-known for, you know, her acting, but also she had a lot of hit records, too. Que Sera Sera was one of them.
Yep.
But not only that, mentioned in music throughout the years as well. As
yeah.
Her name. And I saw this montage that was set aside. It says, Doris Day mentioned in rock songs.
Yeah, we'll see if you can name the songs.
Okay, let me play these, yeah. And we'll see if we can figure them out. Here we go.
Like the FBI. BBK.
That's Dig It by the Beatles.
Yeah.
I'm Doris Day.
There you go.
Dig it. Dig it.
We didn't start the fire. Red China, Johnny Ray, something, something, Doris Day.
Harry Truman, Doris.
Or Harry Truman.
Yeah. Stay Red China, Johnny Ray.
Oh, Red China comes after that. Okay, yeah. So let me back that up a little bit.
Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio.
Wake me up before you go.
Yeah.
Which is Doris Day.
Make the sunshine brighter than Doris Day.
What a great rock song.
I love vagina. That was back when he was maybe playing off heterosexual.
Oh, my God, he's the dreamboat.
Yeah.
So, a little bit.
Doris Day mentioned through songs. So, and of course.
You were saying earlier, Paul McCartney was effusive about his adoration for Doris Day.
He wrote a lengthy statement as a tribute to her. And, of course, you can't forget this.
I can't. I'm sick.
In Greece, too. So Doris Day, 97 years old, certainly made her impact. On to a couple of other stories. Performances from Tool, Judas Priest, The Cult, and others were canceled at the inaugural Epicenter Festival. It was Saturday in Rockingham, North Carolina, due to severe weather conditions. And now a backlash is brewing among concert goers over the way that the cancellations and the festival itself were handled. While some fans were angered by the cancellations, many more were unhappy with the circumstances leading up to the evening's disappointing announcement. Some ticket holders even claimed they spent hours in traffic waiting to get in, only to then get the news that the evening's festivities were canceled.
I would be pissed off as well.
Problems had begun even before Saturday's weather issues, with attendees complaining on Friday that it took them hours to either access or leave the ground. Some reported waiting in traffic until early morning hours to exit following the performance. The venue was evacuated hours before the cancellation was announced on Saturday, with festival organizers finally admitting for the safety of fans, artists, and staff. The county of Richmond was determined that the epicenter was not will not resume tonight. Severe weather continuing, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you remember there have been issues where severe weather came upon an outdoor concert scene and people were killed.
Most definitely. Tool guitarist Adam Jones wrote on Instagram, "Sorry, Rockingham, we're ready to rock. County of Richmond, it's officially canceled, but we will be back." Fans are also reportedly upset to learn, and here's another thing, that the tickets for the show were being sold for vastly less money in the days leading up to the weekend, for prices ranging from $20 to $1 after some paid hundreds in advance for weekend passes. So they weren't They weren't selling enough tickets.
Yeah.
And they had a bunch left over, and they wanted to move them quickly, so they offered those discounts. Pissed a few people off. Mentioned this earlier, Greta Van Fleet has extended its North American March of the Peaceful Army tour with a new round of fall shows. The young quartet will perform several new songs on the 11-date trek, and ticket and pre-sale for the group's Peaceful Army fan club begins tomorrow, followed by the launch of general ticket sales on Friday at 10 a.m. local time. They will be at the Met in Philadelphia on October 15th. The fall leg, which supports the band's 2018 debut LP, Anthem of the Peaceful Army, follows a current run of North American dates that continues on Wednesday in Charlotte, North Carolina. I thought this was kind of interesting. Joe Walsh fans have put forth a new petition to have the Eagles guitarist inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a solo artist.
I think that would be totally appropriate.
Yeah, Walsh has been eligible for solo induction since 1998, the same year that he was inducted as part of the Eagles. In addition to an impassioned plea to the Rock Hall to have Walsh join the Hall's ranks, the petition lists in detail Walsh's musical, historical, and charitable importance in rock, with quotes by such friends and fans as Pete Townsend, Eric Clapton, and Jimmy Page.
Now, some heavy hitters.
So it's just started. They've got about 1,000 signatures. Its goal is 5,000, and I have a feeling it'll probably get there pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I'd sign it for sure. And then finally, Slipknot has shared a cryptic teaser video for a special announcement that will apparently be delivered later this week. A one-minute video clip features brief teases of the members' new masks, along with footage from previous years. Also included is a counter that appears to be counting down to this Thursday, with the band scheduled to play on Friday's edition of Jimmy Kimmel Live. The band is widely expected to reveal its new onstage outfits ahead of its appearance on the program, so that's what they think maybe it is.
So they're unveiling their new masks.
Yep.
And it's a big thing, I guess, obviously, with what they're doing.
For fans, And that is what I have for you in music news this morning. We're going to take another break. We will return, get ready to wrap things up. Letter of the day, word of the week prize. Very cool setup for the MMRBQ. You could win, so make sure you get that letter. We'll be back in just a moment.
Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Blink 182 on 93.3 WMMR. Wrapping up the program for the day of Tuesday. I've enjoyed today. I enjoyed yesterday.
Yes.
That's always good, right? When Monday and Tuesday start off pretty solid.
Listen, if the tough part of the week is enjoyable, it can only get better.
I hope so, man. We've got plenty of things going on through the course of the week, ending with the MMRBQ. Almost close to the end of the weekend. And as of now, weather forecast looking solid. Clouds, but temperatures in the mid to upper 70s, so pretty comfy.
Totally down with that.
Yeah, we'll see if it gets better as the week goes on, and I'll let you know exactly what to expect. So I want to thank Mr. Dave Attell for being on today's program. Dave is awesome. Great to talk to him. He and Jeff Ross, what a big 1-2 combo those guys are. They're bumping Mike's tour is headed to the Borgata May 25th. There are two shows, 8 p.m., 11 p.m., and tickets are available at LiveNation.com. Get them while you can, because I don't think they're going to last long.
No.
And thank you to Deets and Watson for bringing by the goodies this morning, and that would be Campos, which is second to market, and also the Swarthmore Co-op for coming by as well. And we appreciate those guys for dropping off that stuff for us. We do love our friends at Deets and Watson. Also, thank you to Philadelphia Eddies because we got ourselves a winner of a tattoo.
Ooh. Ah. Hey.
We had a lot of texts, and we randomly chose one, and our winner today is Elizabeth Afflerbach.
Afflerbach!
And she is from Pennsburg, Pennsylvania. And we're going to give her a $350 gift certificate for a Preston and Steve tattoo at world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo.
So exciting.
Tattoos Day on the Preston and Steve Show, presented by world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo, 621 South 4th Street in South Philly. Get tattooed by the area's top tattoo artists like Troy Temple, and you can see his work on Instagram at Troy Temple or PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com. So congratulations to you. We'll do that again next week. I was about to say I am forgetting something, but I remember coolest teacher. It's school number two that we're going for. Yesterday we had drawn the Marion Mercy Academy, and English teacher Mrs. Jessica Shields won that. She's going to get a Preston and Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug, and also a $50 gift certificate from our friends at What a Crock Meals. And today's school that was chosen is Ruston High School in Westchester. Been looking at the text messages. You need some help because you need to text it the right way. Sorry. Text the word teacher. That has to come first. Okay, so you're setting up your text. You're entering the number 39333. And then you're going to enter in the message you want to send. Teacher, space, and then the name of the teacher.
Boom.
That's how you do it. Don't just send the name of the teacher or I love so-and-so or whatever it is. You got to write teacher and the name of the teacher. 39333.
Space.
Yep. And one vote per phone number. And tomorrow morning we'll find out who that winner is going to be. So all good. Case, you ready for the letter of the day?
Yeah, I can do this.
All right, let's do it.
Wait, he's here.
WMMR. Now, the daily letter.
I'm not waiting anymore. I wait, and then there's this delay, and the man is, where the hell are you?
I'm where I am.
All right, you are where you are in your space right now. You feel a lot more like you do now than when you got here.
I do.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
M as in Mary.
Mary.
Mary, what a letter.
And how merry it will be if you are in the pit for the MMRBQ with five friends, because we have a six-pack of pit tickets to give away, and it's presented by Bud Light. It's Saturday.
6th.
BB&T Pavilion with Shinedown, Evanescence, Struts. Joan Jett, Fozzy, Glorious Sons, Bad Wolves, and Saravo.
Saravo.
You and, think he'll be there?
The tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Cowper?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's one of the opening bands. Yeah. Throwing Cowper. Oh, my. It's the new album. It's a tribute band to... yeah.
That's great.
Bravo sounds like a hot sauce, doesn't it?
Throwing Cowper.
Like sriracha. Yeah.
Sriracha.
Yeah.
A lot like that. How you doing, man?
Excellent.
Wonderful. You look nice today.
You're very kind. Thank
very
you.
Clean mm. and, very clean and wearing all black.
I'm clean and black.
That's what Superfly used to say.
Yep. Yeah. That's me.
All good.
Yep.
All right. Clean and black.
Do you have some very special things planned for today?
You betcha.
All right.
I've got workforce blocks, which will include some talking heads. Mm-hmm. I've got some STP on previous MMRBQs, and we'll do a combined block of some of this year's MMRBQ bands. We're doing past year's and this year's all this week, and then some extra stuff. So
I love the stuff I was hearing yesterday. It's just good to remember how many great times have occurred during RBQs, and your wandering microphone gets some really incredible stuff.
Well, the colorful people who have a hard time
talking,
enunciating. Yeah. But in the pit a couple of years ago, we did a block of the Murphys because they were a previous band. In the pit yesterday, I ran a piece from 2014 when the Murphys were coming on. I was talking to people just like you're talking about. And the last one, I said, what's your name? Ryan. It turns out to be Ryan Shuttleworth, who then was just a listener and now is a staff member here.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. You never know who you're going to meet.
Yeah.
So we'll have some more of those, and we'll have also tickets to give away for Incubus. A second show has been added, and tickets for Robert Plant coming to the man.
So it's going to be fun.
Excellent. Tickets to see Robert Plant. That's sweet. I got to thank our sponsors, and the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport, and Armor Metals and Recycling for all of your metal and your computer recycling needs. Tomorrow morning, we are going live on Fox Good Day. I do know that, and I'm looking at a stack of things that we can give away. And, of course, we'll do another Cool's Teacher and all that good stuff. So that's it. We are done. Rage on, and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you live.
Oh, woke up this morning. What's that coming down again? Oh, we're getting pissed on by rain again? Damn it.
Next message.
You know an interview was absolutely awesome when the interviewer asks the interviewee a question and they try to give you the humble answer, but when they really think about it, like, yeah, I really did feel a little uncomfortable. Great job, Steve. That question really got Joan Jett to think.
Next message.
I just wanted to talk to everybody here. I know everyone has their opinions, and some of them are wrong. Some of you people are f***ing insane. Eat them right.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.